This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have a new episode every Thursday. This is episode 171, and this week we are discussing 2015, what we hope to see, what we think we'll see, and what we're most looking forward to.
Hoverboards.
It's going to happen. It's supposed to happen. That Michael J. Fox said so.
As long as we cover the entire streets with metal, we've got hoverboards coming like in the next couple years.
Stop interrupting my intro, Scott. Your time is coming. Our From the Outside In topic this week is the 4th Annual Ho Awards. We've done this every year where we pick kind of everything that we liked about last year. That's what we're going to do. As well as our listener picks for best film and TV series of 2014, as well as what movie they're most looking forward to in 2015. Latest movie and TV news, not really, including our own trivia segments. My name is Aaron Peterson, and if you've never listened to our show, I'm going to introduce everybody. I'm a former critic who still critiques. I'm just really lazy, so now
former
I do
critic.
It.
Have You're a nice not a day. Former, you are a constant critic.
I'm not Justin McGumber, though.
I love everything.
Can you stop interrupting my intro, you bitches?
You win. I'm offended.
We do have a contest to see who can offend the audience the quickest. So as soon as you're offended, I want somebody to send an email and say, right there, that's who it was. I want to know that. Anyway, I'm lazy, so that's why I do it in podcast form now. Also joining us every week is author of the new fantasy novel, A Broken Magic. He's also the author of the horror novel, Stillwater. Probably, hopefully, eventually my biography. Justin McCumber.
What's up?
Not much. Are you excited to be back?
Not really. Wish I was back on the cruise ship.
Wow. You can tell us about your cruise in a second. He's our Tom Hanks on the show, always trying to be nice and positive, but inside he's kind of got the heart of a demon. Scott Clark.
Am I allowed to talk now?
As long as you do it quickly and astutely.
All right.
All right, you're done. And I think every show kind of needs a little McConaughey. So bringing in his own little mix of movie trivia and Southern drawl is Brian Williams.
Welcome back, Aaron. Welcome back.
Oh, that was the nicest you've ever been to me.
Well, you called him McConaughey, for Christ's sake. What's he going to be, mad?
Yeah. Brilliant,
get
wasn't
naked
it?
And banging some bongos.
That's not a bongo, Brian.
Zip.
Well, it is just so you guys know, it is 2015.
In case you're wondering. Yep.
We haven't been all together, all four of us, since the middle of December, I think. So it's been about 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Oh, man.
It's been a while.
I knew it.
The first one of the year.
How did I not see that coming? How is everybody? Justin, you're dying to tell us. What did you do? I hear you were doing something on water while we were on hiatus.
Definitely wasn't walking.
No. I am nice. Godlike. In certain respects.
Oh, my God.
One of them. No, we went on my Caribbean cruise over the Christmas break. I had lots of fun on the ship itself. And then we went ATVing through the jungles of Cozumel. And then at on the Roatan Island, we did some beach lounging and then some snorkeling over some corals and neat-looking fishies. And Facebook is just filled with photos from the vacation. We had a lot of fun.
Speedo? Anybody wear one?
Hell to the no. Have you seen me?
I didn't mean necessarily you, but, you know.
No. I mean, there's a lot of pretty people on the cruise ship and on the beach, but I don't think I saw any Speedos, thankfully.
Now, I've never been on a cruise, and I know all three of you have.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me and I promise we'll get to movies soon, people. Nobody turn the episode off. Tell me the advantage of a cruise versus regular vacation, because I've never been on one, and I'm not a big water guy. I mean, I was in the Navy, so I don't necessarily want to go back. So what's the appeal?
Well, you have everything that's self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you occasionally step foot on land. The ships are usually so big you don't even feel the movement unless it's a really bad storm. You might feel the rocking and rolling a little bit. But for the most part, they're so big, you don't even realize that, you know, you're on land. I mean, you're on a ship. So you go to, there's, you know, everybody talks about the food. You know, I've been on some where the food's been, you know, was good. And I've been on some where the food was great. And they're just constantly feed you and feed you. There's, you know, dancing, there's shows, there's any, I mean, just about any and everything, depending on the cruise line you go on, it's all right there.
It's
and
kind of,
every person on that ship lives to help you out in some fashion.
Oh, lives to serve?
They live to serve, and they are so, if you do like a week-long cruise, your cabin attendant person, you just get like so attached to them.
For real,
always,
he's not joking.
So friendly and everything.
They know you're
all Justin, Krista, having a good day.
Yeah. They didn't remember your name after like the second day.
Seriously?
It's crazy. Imagine like a huge hotel that is encasing a week-long summer camp for adults. There's always something to do, but you don't have to go if you don't want to. If you want to sit in your room and do nothing for an hour, or you know, you can.
Or five minutes.
You want to go to the casino? You want to go to the water
slide?
They
have a casino on the ship?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I can't
go. Casinos. We came out
like
ahead.
Art auctions. I mean, they've got everything.
God, this is so much different than the Navy was.
Nobody's yelling at you, telling you to get up.
You don't have to wear dungarees. It's all good. Did anybody else do anything cool while they were off? I didn't really do anything except sit on my ass and watch Justified, so...
I went to the Grand Canyon. I got to see the Grand Canyon for the first time. That was kind of cool.
Were you excited?
I was.
It didn't seem like you were excited to go originally.
Well, we drove 4 hours to be there for an hour and a half and then four hours back. So we.
But it's a life-changing experience.
Mm.
It's pretty.
It is very pretty. It's one of those things I wish I could have spent more time because even just moving a few hundred yards down the rim or whatever, it looks like a completely different place. It's insane.
Yeah, it really does.
And I want to see what it looks like in the different times of day with the sun. And
closer to where you were actually at.
Yeah,
hopefully
exactly.
Did they have it strung up with lights for Christmas?
Not where we were. I didn't see anything. Do they do that?
Like the whole canyon?
Yeah,
seems expensive. They have solar power? How do they do that?
I don't know. It's called a joke, guys. Y'all fucking take me too serious. Jesus. Hello, Brian Williams. New to the Hollywood Outsider.
Okay, now we can talk movies.
Let's go south.
Now we can talk movies. Ant-Man. The Ant-Man teaser came out. The trailer's on the website, so you can definitely go there and check it out. TheHollywoodOutsider.com. But if you're one of the few that haven't seen it, because apparently Marvel took over the internet for another day, what were first impressions? Justin, I know you know the comics, so what is your first impression?
You know, it's of all of the Marvel teasers and trailers that I have seen, this one... I don't want to call it weak, but it's certainly not as exciting as, you know, what I got with any of the others. But I trust Marvel to know their business, to know what they're doing, and that ultimately the next trailer or the eventual movie will be more than I could have asked for. I don't want to be one of those people who takes a teaser and forms an entire opinion about the film based on just that. But it was a little underwhelming. I would have liked a little bit more. But that's what a full trailer is for. This is just a teaser.
It's a long teaser.
It's like 2 minutes.
To me, a teaser is like a, you know, just over a minute or so. But I don't know. I really want to like this. I like the idea of shrinking down, but... having no attachment to the comics at all, I don't know anything about what it was going into this. I don't get it. Maybe you guys can explain it to me. Like, he shrinks down to really small size to be able to ride an ant, and how does that help him fight crime? I honestly don't understand.
When decreasing size, he increases strength.
Okay.
By getting super small, he's able to get into places that a normal sized person couldn't. But he also has increased strength while that's small. So he's also able to do things that other people couldn't do. I am curious how they're going to handle that in the film. But there's definitely some superhero potential. I just think you need to give it, you know, give it a full trailer, get the movie. It's a weird teaser. Yeah.
Brian, what about you?
I haven't had a chance to watch the actual trailer. I just seen the little jokey tiny print one. So
well, it's available on the website, but Brian. You could probably check that.
But I tell you, these guys have got me really hyped to watch it.
I'm the same thing. I think it's weird because you can tell who's 100% Marvel fanboy. Like if you're cruising the internet, because those are the ones that say it looks like the best movie ever. I don't understand that concept. Unless you're a huge Ant-Man fan and like of the comic, I don't understand that. But because it felt like, and maybe it's coming off of like Guardians and stuff like that, where you're so pumped and that trailer just like created something new in you, or created a new entity that you hadn't mm-hmm. seen before and made it seem like something you wanted to see. This is something I'm not familiar with and didn't do anything to make me care anymore.
It's funny you mentioned that we were coming off of the Guardians movie and trailer mm-hmm. because we talked a little bit off air about somebody recut the trailer, and the one that I saw actually made it seem more like the Guardians trailer. They incorporated like a 70s song into it mm-hmm. and it worked so much better than
the actual somebody did trailer better did. Than the marketing mm-hmm. Marvel marketing
yeah.
campaign.
I highly recommend checking that out because it got me I still don't get it, like I said. I was like, all right, give me a little Guardians flavor to it. I'm a little bit more on board.
All I want is them to chill out with the little jokes. We get it. You know, like they give you the little teaser, and that was very brilliant, where they give you the clip of the teaser, and it's just a really tiny trailer you can't see. Mm-hmm. That's funny. And the poster comes, the same kind of thing. But, okay, we get it. Let it go. Step suck. I mean, I'm waiting for the tagline that say, like, heroes come in all sizes, or less is more, or something.
Well, that's how you market it. I mean, that's what you do. I'm having flashbacks to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids when I see him ride an ant and stuff like that. That's what I'm picturing this movie is going to be, a little guy with normal, like standing next to normal objects that are normally.
Well, he was riding an ant in that bed.
No, right? I know. That's what I'm saying. But I'm, you know.
Like a unicorn, like a magical unicorn. I'm just very excited. Well, let's get into what we came here to talk about. Everybody excited about 2015? Because we're talking about what's coming up in 2015.
Does Star Wars come out in 2015?
I think so. I'm sure Justin will bring that up at some point. Yeah? Maybe? Is that coming up at some point? Let's give people a little teaser. Star Wars?
I have no idea.
Well, let's look ahead to 2015 in movies and TV. From last year, are there any trends that you were kind of hoping hold up for 2015? Like stuff that worked?
Well, as far as films go, not really. I mean, we got about the same selection of films I feel like we always get. But when it comes to television, one of the trends that I noticed is that there is an increase in speculative fiction shows in general, but even specifically horror. Between Constantine, Penny Dreadful, and The Strain, you know, those are three new shows that all came out all dealing with horror as their central topic. And I'm hoping that continues. You know, we've had Supernatural now for almost 10 years. And Grimm is in what, its third or fourth season?
Isn't this the fourth one, I think? Maybe it's third.
Maybe the fourth. And Sleepy Hollow started last year as well. So we're...
Yeah, but are those horror?
I consider Supernatural, Grimm, Constantine. I mean, horrific as network television can get. But it's certainly dealing with vampires and demons and monsters and
happy
all that.
Happy horror.
I don't know if I'd call Penny Dreadful happy horror.
No, Penny Dreadful is definitely horror. Supernatural.
I mean, Twilight dealt with vampires and stuff, but I don't know if I'd call that horror.
Oh, why? Yeah.
That's just horror of a different sort.
It was pretty horrific, Brian, if you go back and watch it.
Not arguing that point at all.
Sorry, continue, Justin.
No, that's just it. I mean, I like that these shows are becoming more prevalent on our of course, The Strain was on network cable, but within just the major networks, you've got a real good handful of shows that deal with horror or horror elements. And so far, I've yet to find a bad one in the bunch.
I guess from a popcorn movie perspective, I think that last year there's a larger focus on fun. You know, I feel like prior to last year, the last several years actually have been really, really dark in terms of every hero has to be tortured and haunted. And I think it felt like we were getting back to fun films and fun spectacle and that sort of thing. I want to see more of that. But what I really liked was the independent films last year. I saw a lot of some of the most interesting stuff I saw were independent films. Mm-hmm. Stuff like Nightcrawler and The Guest and The Babadook and all that stuff that I've talked about ad nauseum and you guys don't want to hear about anymore. But those are the kind of movies I'd like to see more of because they took more chances. They did things a little different. It wasn't the same old sequel of the month and everything else. So mm-hmm. I really want to see more of that.
For me, what I want to see more of isn't necessarily even like in the type of movies and TV shows, but for me, it has to do more with like a financial aspect in that. I want to see.
You want them to send you money?
No. I loved how we were able to see a lot more on video on demand this year. It seems like that's a growing trend.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? With stuff that's being released on video on demand and in the theater at the same time in some cases, or on video on demand.
Well, we're going to have to ask North Korea to step their game up, I guess.
Yeah. Well, not for that reason, but
I like it, though.
I know that you guys, you know, are theater purists, and the theater is a big experience for you, and you would prefer to see movies in a theater, but for a cheapskate like me, the convenience and cost-effective ways to see these movies far outweighs that theater experience for me personally. So the more video on demand, I'm stoked for.
Well, shouldn't your college education have provided you with much more of a earning career than what us three non-college graduates have?
Yeah. You'd think so.
What happened?
You would think. I mean, you did make a big deal about that fucking degree.
Yeah.
Please refer back to previous episodes.
Best of Ho. I believe there's a whole section on it.
Hey, you don't have to.
You're smart.
Just because you're a cheapskate doesn't mean you don't make any money. It just means it's going to last a little bit longer.
But iTunes does a really good job of highlighting independent movies as well. And I really love that they do that, because I've been able to watch some movies via iTunes that I would not have seen otherwise. So yeah, independent movies are, because of video on demand, I think they've gotten a lot of new life in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I gotta agree with Scott on that one. Is especially living in a rural area where, you know, it's 2 hours plus to the nearest IMAX movie screen. So
is it 2 hours?
It's 2 hours. Yeah, to just about any direction would. You know, it would land me an IMAX screen. So
you kind of live in
an hour just to get out of the holler.
That's what I was thinking, the holler. Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know,
was that
granted,
coal,
you know,
mine?
Some of the, I mean, so, you know, coal the movies mine? Like Gravity and stuff, I mean, I would see on a larger screen, but there are some of the, maybe the middle tier movies that maybe I'm just kind of on the fence about spending the money that it takes to go to the theater, and then just say, you know what, I think I'll watch this one at home. So
That's a good point. Now, are there certain types of movies where you wouldn't want that experience? Now, I know, Justin, you said comedies, you prefer to just watch them at home. You're not in a big hurry to go to a theater. So those are the kind for you. For me, I love to see everything in a theater. I just prefer that environment.
Mm-hmm.
But are there certain kind of movies where, okay, a theater is where I have to see this, and a home is where I have to see that? For you guys? Or Scott, you just want to see everything at home?
No, not necessarily. I mean, something like a Pacific Rim or Guardians of the Galaxy, something that's like a special event. You know, I want to go see it on the big screen with the intense sound. But for the most cases, I put a lot of money into my basement, my entertainment center. I've got a pretty decent sound system. I got a big screen. I got no one yelling at me for having my phone on while I'm watching a movie. So like, yeah, that's, I prefer that. But once in a while, I prefer the theater experience, but it depends on the movie.
Yeah, I mean, there are epic movies that just, no matter how well they look on your big screen TV, it still doesn't compare to the large, you know, format of the big screen, mm-hmm. whether it's a regular movie screen or whether it's IMAX. So it's, it's just one of those things where, you know, there are certain movies that just fit better in the theater. And I'm sorry, a Kristen Wiig, Bill Hader, independent comedy thing.
Oh, the Skeleton Twins? The
twins.
You know, I'm just using that as an example. I'm not hating on the movie, but I'm like, you know, if it's something like, you know, no, I mean, I hate to use this as a comparison, but Noah or Skeleton Twins, I'm probably going to spend $10 to see Noah. Just because
you made a bad choice. I'm just letting you know.
Look, I'm not. Yeah, you're right. It is a very bad choice.
You drove so far for no reason. You should have watched Skeleton Twins.
No, I'm not saying Noah's better, but I'm saying but that movie, you know,
it's more epic, more.
It's more apt for the big screen. It's designed for that epic feel of sitting there being wild. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I know it's visual eye candy. I get it. But that's part of the reason I pay my $10 is I want to be wild and, you know, kind of feeling sad or funny like that because of whatever drama's going on. not always the reason I go in there.
So what was missing last year that we could use a little bit more of this year? What do you think we definitely need more of this in 2015?
Mine's not so specific, but it kind of hinges on something you said a little bit earlier. I felt like this year didn't have a whole lot that made me feel like I had to go to the theater to see. You know what I mean? Like the year before, I think we got just kind of spoiled. There were just so many spectacle movies, especially over the summer.
Yeah, every week there was something you had to go see.
Mm-hmm. And this year, I felt less inclined to go to the theater this year. I didn't have as many movies that said, man, I can't, I have to go see that one, like at open. This year I didn't even feel like I had to go to a midnight release. Like, I think the previous year I went to a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And this year I just, I'll go see it when I go see it. I want something that's going to drive me to do it. I don't know exactly what that is. Oh, I know a couple of things from 2015 that it's going to be, but, you know.
Star Wars.
That's one.
I'm not on board with that. I thought there were a lot of great movies last year, and I was very happy with the content we got. But I also think I like a lot of different movies than you do. And if you go to a theater, you really only get excited for certain kinds of movies, where I get excited for even little movies. So
right.
I think that makes a difference. But what I thought was very lacking were great comedies.
That's true.
I mean, there's a couple of good ones like throughout the year where, I laugh. 22 Jump Street I thought was funny. I actually like Million Ways to Die in the West. People can shut up. I don't get the hate. I actually thought it was funny. But I don't remember a single one that I thought, man, that was a great comedy. That was, I can't stop talking about it, telling my friends, laughing. Not a single one last year that I can think of. I would like one this year. I want something hysterical.
You liked Horrible Bosses too, didn't you?
I liked it, but it's not one that I'm just going to keep talking up for months afterward. You know, it's not a Wedding Crashers or Something About Mary or a great comedy. It's just a good one.
Right.
There's several good.
What about you
Westerns.
Guys? Westerns.
Oh, yeah. We need more Westerns.
We need good Westerns. Just a good Western.
Just one a year.
It doesn't have to be about, guy in white hat versus guy in black hat, but just a good Western.
Did we even get one Western?
I'm trying to think of one.
I think the Rover was
A Million Ways to Die in the West, didn't we?
That didn't fucking count.
No, but
it was technically a Western, but no, I think the Rover was close because it was kind of Western-ish. But outside of that, I don't think so. I think this year, Jane Got a Gun or something like that with Natalie Portman. That's coming out. That's a Western. But that's the only one I know. The Homesman, but that never made it to theaters.
Then they got a remake of Bad Girls.
Oh, no. No. Just stop it. Although Madeline Stowe and Drew Barrymore are probably free, I think.
Yeah.
Justin, that's what you would like is Westerns?
I really didn't miss anything this year. I didn't notice, though, that we really didn't get any Westerns until Brian mentioned it. I'm not the biggest Western fan on earth, so me not noticing isn't unusual. But I was really satisfied with last year's selection of movies. I wasn't left wanting anywhere.
And what about the movies you guys are excited about? Like, coming out this year... Brian, we're going to start with you because I know what these other two are going to say. So what are some of the movies you're most looking forward to this year? Anything that would surprise us or pretty much the old standards?
It's pretty much going to be, the standards. Furious 7, which comes out on April 3rd, I'm really looking forward to, just for a couple of reasons, to see how they handle Paul Walker's, death.
I like how you're saying
I don't know why that was such a hard. I was trying to think of a nicer word to say, but it really, why beat around the bush? He's dead. Rest in peace. All that stuff.
Fair enough.
But where does the franchise go next? They've mentioned before where they're talking about 2-3 more movies, on top of this one, I believe. And it's like, so where do they, where do they spin it? I hate to kind of recycle a joke, but a couple of years ago we were talking about how they keep upping the ante with the massive car chase. And then, the last movie, there was a giant airplane that apparently drove across the whole face of Europe before it finally blew up.
Mm-hmm.
So, this time we were, I made the joke about it being on a spaceship, but
It could happen.
You know, it was, I'm kind of, I wasn't too far off. They've got cars falling out of a fucking airplane.
It just needs to go up a little higher, right?
Yeah. So
wouldn't that be fantastic? I mean,
maybe that's going to be 8. I don't know.
Did they decide on that? Is it Furious 7? Is that the official title now? Because they go Fast and Furious, Fast 6, Fast and Furious. I don't know what the hell the titles are anymore.
I don't know. I don't know. That's just what I called it.
They just call it the one where Paul Walker.
I'm just, you know, maybe it's and 7. Because they've done Fast and Furious, so maybe and. Is
that
it?
Would kind of be awesome. If they just did something random like Cars.
That's it.
It'd be a lot of disappointed kids.
It would be. It would be.
No, they couldn't call it Cars. They've already got 2 movies called that. So
Fast Cars. Boom. Fast, and then you got Tracy Chapman singing the cover song. Problem solved.
There you go.
I got a fast car. Isn't that how that song? Let's talk about Star Wars.
That's exactly how it went.
That's exactly how that sounded. Let's talk about Star Wars. So we can get it out of the way.
I like a Star Wars.
Not quite as good. Justin, yeah. I'm going to pitch it to you because I know this is like an event for you. I got a feeling you would mortgage your house to make sure you made the screening when that came out.
I'm not there, I'm in a hospital or a morgue.
What do you do? Okay, I'll pose a question. Star Wars is coming out. If you never listened to the show, that's Justin's favorite franchise in the whole wide world. It made him who he was, and he's special because of it. So I don't even know if your wife listens to the show, but I'm going to put you on the spot anyway. Your wife's in the hospital. Nothing serious, kidney transplant, something like that. And you either go and stay by her side or go see your Star Wars. What do you pick?
My wife loves me enough, she would send me off to see the movie.
Don't put that on her.
I said nothing serious, just a kidney transplant. That's not bad. Right?
She knows I need to be there. In fact, she would probably try and fool the doctor into letting her out so she could go see it.
Aw. Why is this one... Okay, I guess the way I should pose the question. Because the prequels were... I don't want to say bad, because I don't think they were bad. But I do think they were a letdown, considering the original trilogy. Why do you think people have returned to being so amped up for this one, Justin?
Because the original cast is in it.
Really?
I think that is 90%, maybe for most people, or a lot of them, 100% of the reason they're excited. Finally, they've got Luke, Han, Leia, all of them back on the silver screen again. And that alone is enough to make people excited. I am.
You sound like
obviously.
It. Are you the only one, Scott?
Oh, I think so.
No, I am. Jump up and down excited.
Justin's always the guy that gets, you know, excited about the Motley Crue reunion tour. So,
yeah, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you know, 55-year-old guys in leather pants singing, you know, songs that are 30 years old.
Skinny.
I think I'm in the minority.
That's poison, but okay.
It works.
It's all the same.
They're very similar. Very similar. I'm in the minority because I am not excited about the old cast. That's probably my least interesting thing.
Oh, that's...
You're a terrible person.
I don't think that makes me terrible, but it's
awesome. I agree.
It does.
Bring them in for a cameo like Spock in the Star Trek movies, and that's about it, and then get them out.
Fuck both of you. You're both terrible people.
Why, though? I mean, I'm a big fan of... Let's move on. Let's go to something new. Show me a new aspect of that world. Why do we have to keep going back to the well? Do you want Kirk to pop up in the new? I mean, I'm sure he will, but do you want him? What?
Let's not put.
Not in this series.
William Shatner.
Don't cross the streams.
On the same level as Harrison fucking Ford.
Do you want.
All right, let's not even approach that.
Don't you feel like that might actually hurt the nostalgia more than help it? To see Princess Leia not looking quite as bikini ready as she used to.
And Harrison Ford's got that silly little gold earring.
Yes.
That's 85 years old. For.
I hope they leave the earring in. That would be awesome.
That's what the CGI is for.
God, that'd be good.
I'm a pirate.
You guys do know that earrings can come out, right?
What? Son of a bitch.
I just want to make sure.
I guess I got to stop making fun of those kids on my lawn.
Because every picture I see him in, it's in his fucking ear.
Take it out. Take it out. Sky,
you're 97 years old. You're done.
You break a leg walking to the Millennium Falcon. That's literally how it happens. What about you, Scott? Well, you like the old cast being there?
I do. I can't wait. I think it's going to be – I think I can't wait for that moment in the theater. The first time you see one of them, that theater is going to explode in cheers. And I love that. I want to see him too.
It's kind of like my grandparents showing up. I just feel
well,
like –
Well, your parents, your grandparents are as fucking cool as Harrison Ford. I don't think so.
Hey.
It's not like we don't know what they look like. We know what they look like now. That's not going to be a surprise. It's just going to be cool to see them in that universe again. Instead of, I don't even know what else has Mark Hamill done except for voice acting in the past
20 years?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot. I want to know what his check was versus Harrison Ford's. Yeah. I want to see the meeting where they finally talk to each other and be like, so I got paid this for this movie. That's pretty cool, right? What'd you get? And he finds out that Harrison Ford has like 8 more zeros. I want to be in that meeting. I think that would be a fantastic day.
I got a free sandwich from Subway. What'd you get, Harrison? 9 mil.
What do you think like that going rate is? Any ideas? Any questions? Theories?
I have no idea.
I mean, what do you pay? I mean, Mark, I know that the difference is Harrison Ford probably
gets
3 times
on the back end, and he gets a cut of any toy made in his likeness.
A grandpa toy, in case kids want to play with a grandpa doll.
It comes with its own wheelchair.
Fantastic.
It's an X-Men crossover.
All right, what are the other biggest ones? Avengers, Avengers Age of Ultron. Are you guys all excited for that one?
Oh,
Brian?
Fuck yes.
Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So everybody's excited. Now, are you guys as excited for that one as you were for the original Avengers?
I'm actually more excited. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why more? I am. Why more? Yeah, bam. You laid it out on us. Yeah. Why?
Well, because for one thing, I've kind of avoided a little bit of the pre information they've leaked out. You know, I've seen a couple of pictures, but that's really about it. And I really don't know a whole lot about it. And the fact that I love the Avengers, even just watched it again the other day, that I love that so much.
It really holds up. It really does.
It really does. And, you know, it's just like, okay, I've seen a couple of the Captain America and Thor individual movies. I'm ready to see all of these guys together again. You know, I've seen the, artist rendition of like the Hulkbuster versus Hulk. So apparently there's a scene where they fight it out and, yeah, I'm just ready to see them all together.
I'm excited for two as well. Okay. I'm not as amped for it as I was for the first one, but I think a lot of that is because of I like the setup of the first one. You know how they all came together, how they assembled.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the fun for it. For me, this just seems like just the continuing adventures. Ultron does look pretty badass though.
See, I like Loki. Loki was great. Mm-hmm. I was really behind Loki. Why are you sighing? You didn't like Loki?
No, I like Loki, but I've heard this kind of argument from a lot of people.
I'm sorry.
That they would just kind of wish Loki was the bad guy
that's
again.
That's not what I was going to say, actually, at all.
Oh, it is, and now you're going to change it just to make me
no,
look
that's
like I'm wrong.
Not what I was going to say.
No, I know how you are.
No, you son of a bitch. What I was going to say was Ultron doesn't seem nearly as engaging as Loki did. He doesn't seem like as interesting.
Well, he is a robot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a robot villain. It doesn't seem that even James Spader's voice, who I love, I just it doesn't appeal to me as
a robot. At least you know
villain.
He's a robot. It's not like, and I hate to hit the Twilight button again, but, you know, Robert Pattinson, who acts like, or even Kristen Stewart, who acts like a robot, but is not a robot.
I'm surprised that didn't take an opportunity either in Iron Man 3 or Captain America to begin to bring in the Ultron idea. Because at least with the Avengers, by the time you watched it, you'd seen a film with Loki. You knew what his deal was. You'd had films with all of them. So you went into it kind of familiar with everyone. In this one, you're totally unfamiliar with the Ultron or what he is. You really have nothing as far as information goes about the Crimson or Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. and Vision's going to be in this, and we have no idea about him either. So it's a bit unusual that this film is so new with things, whereas the first Avengers kind of wasn't.
Now, Justin, what are you most excited about outside of those two?
Well, I've already mentioned, you know, Jupiter Ascending. I'm really looking forward to, but
no, but people might not have heard. So I would like to revisit Jupiter Ascending.
So would I.
Please explain why you want to see that one so bad.
Well, for one, it's directed by the Wachowski siblings. They have yet to let me down when it comes to their films. It's a space opera, and I am a sucker for a good space opera. And it looks gorgeous from every trailer that I have seen. The visuals in this film are stunning. Put all of those together, you got Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis playing the two leads. And then you got the bad guy who's played by, well, Redmayne. What's his name? The guy who played
Freddie Redmayne. Eddie Redmayne.
No, Freddie. Isn't it Freddie Redmayne?
No, I think it's Freddie Highmore. It's Eddie Redmayne.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking. Anyway.
It looks fantastic. It's got everything going for it. I could not be really more excited for that film.
I got to tell you, Justin, that first trailer that we saw months ago for Jupiter Ascending did nothing for me.
Me either.
I was just kind of just down on the movie. This weekend, I went and saw a movie in the theater, and they had the new trailer for Jupiter Ascending, and it totally gave a complete 180 for me. I'm stoked to see this movie now.
And I agree. And I actually told Scott, I really don't want to tell Justin because I don't want him.
He's an asshole.
I don't. Yeah, because pretty much, you know, he's an asshole. He tries to tell me what I'm going to say before I say it. But I legitimately am willing to say, I'm not going to say it was wrong because that first trailer I think sucked. And I think this one, maybe it's the way they cut it. I don't know. But the new trailer made it look 10 times better than that first trailer did.
I agree.
And not because of the spectacle, always looked gorgeous. It just, the plot seemed dumb in that first trailer. Here it makes more sense. I think they did a better job of illustrating what the point of it was. Just made it a world of difference.
Mm-hmm.
World of difference.
I'm officially on board for that one.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the new trailer, Brian?
No, I don't think I have.
You should seek it out. I think you might be won over a little bit too.
You know, my number two movie that I'm looking for.
I didn't know if we were doing round robin or what.
No, just come up as they come up. Whatever you want to talk about.
Well, I got one that I'm even more excited to see than Avengers, and that's Mad Max. That movie looks so freaking cool. Every time I watch the trailer, I just cannot wait for that movie. That trailer looks like when I went back to watch the original Mad Max a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was expecting. I mean, not obviously technologically speaking, but that kind of mayhem is what I was expecting instead of the like just straight revenge story.
They couldn't do that back then. They would have to actually drive into a dust storm,
right,
to recreate that.
That movie just looks so much fun.
I wish all the theaters were set up with fans at the front that they would just throw sand
like
into occasionally, so you get that grit hit you in the face.
Yeah. Nothing like blind in the audience. Yeah.
Fuck yeah! Well, you gotta
buy a ticket. They
goggles.
Don't have. They don't hand you 3D glasses. They hand you, you know, sand goggles.
Oh, I'm on board. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Justin, what was the other one you wanted to bring up? I'm sorry. We would cut you
just
off.
Just real quick. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, The Green Legend. I am a massive fan of the original film. It changed the way that I looked at martial arts movies. And the new one that's coming out, while it doesn't have the original actor Chow Yun-fat in it, it does have Donnie Yen, who I like even more, starring in it with Michelle Yao. I'm just really, really pumped to see this new Crouching Tiger. And again, it's directed by Wu-Ping Yen, who directed the first one and, of course, did all the fight choreo. Well, no, Ang Lee directed the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But Wu-Ping Yen did the like fight choreography for the Matrix films and all those other movies that had a lot of wire work, which the original Crouching Tiger did, and he was the fight coordinator on that. So
I really want that to work. That
let it work.
Could be great, or that one probably makes me most nervous. I think out of the year, just because it's been so long, I haven't heard hardly anything about it, other than the fact that it was being made. You would think a movie like that, a sequel to a huge movie like that, would get a little bit more press.
Hopefully it comes out in August, late August. So there's still a lot of time for that to, you know, that press
to build
junket,
yeah,
whatever.
Junket.
Yeah. To get the press out there and build some excitement for it. I'm really hopeful.
Brian, there's a movie coming out, and you love Kevin Costner, which is why I'm bringing it up. Have you seen a trailer for this, Black or White?
Yeah, I have. It looks...
Is it based on the Michael Jackson song?
Yes, yes. No, it's about Kevin Costner is a white... Is he a grandfather, right? He's a grandfather of an African-American daughter. I don't know how it worked. I don't know if his daughter or his son was married to an African-American daughter. I don't know how that works. But his grandchild is mixed, right? And her grandmother, basically the parents die, and he gets custody of the girl. So, you know, his granddaughter is black and he's white, and the other grandmother is black, and it's Octavia Spencer. So you got a really good cast. And it's them, you know, basically it's like a culture – it's an observation
on
cultures.
It's kind of a cultural struggle
between the two.
Daughter.
Because both grandparents want her to grow up in their world. And for me, it looked like a really interesting take on race. And it felt like an issue movie that was real, as opposed to a lot of these where it feels like we're just dwelling in the past. This felt like a real modern day issue movie. But Kevin Costner makes it easier to swallow these kind of things, I guess. And that's why, because I know you love Costner, if you had seen that. It comes out at the end of the month, January 30th, I think.
Yeah, it does. I mean, of course, the timing, you know, worries me a little bit. But what's he going to do, drop this movie in any time after April? I mean, when you're loaded with...
Yeah, it won't do anything. No.
So I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. I do like I said, I do love Costner. And it does. It does look like a good, one of those good social commentary movies without... just beating you over the face with it, you know, with a stick.
Mm-hmm. What about 50 Shades of Grey? I do want to ask, is anybody here as psyched to see this sexy movie as I am? Comes out February 13th, so it's perfect Valentine's Day present, little S&M with your date.
Anybody find porn for free on the internet. I'm good.
Now, Scott, you read the book.
I did. I'm curious to see how they translate it, because the book is graphic.
Does that mean dirty?
Yeah. I mean...
They rated it R because of unusual activity. Can you elaborate on what the unusual activity might be? Any of it. Just pick one.
I mean, there's graphic detail to the sexual acts that are going on involving...
We're adults here, Scott. Come on, you can tell us. It's okay.
I mean, we
are not censored here, Scott. You do realize that.
I mean, there's like a half a page or more of describing the blowjob she's given a guy. And talking about his...
Can you elaborate?
No.
If I give you a dollar?
That was Aaron likes hearing about cock.
Yeah, sure. Can you show Aaron?
No.
Demonstrations are appreciated. Tips are welcomed. No?
A tip.
Okay. I do want to see it. Just because I haven't read the book. I don't know anything about it. Except that ladies love it. And these are the kind of movies I love to see in a theater. I even went, you know, we went and saw Magic Mike in a theater. I don't care. I want to see the audience for that movie.
I do too. You know, I think Justin said it best once.
Well, do you go see this with a male friend of yours or your wife?
I'm confident in my sexuality.
My wife won't see it. I'll go see it with Aaron.
Yeah. See?
And then we went and saw Fault in Our Stars together.
And we enjoyed it. And we were proud of it.
So is this just before the credits roll? The two of you stand at the exit and say, "Here we are, ladies," as they're all walking out.
No, At Fault in Our Stars, I think they thought we were a gay couple.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I think
they weren't wrong.
Yeah, it probably won't think much different at this one. But I still want to see it.
Yeah, I do too.
Guess we're the only ones.
How has nobody mentioned Jurassic Park yet?
Because it's not out. It's Jurassic World.
Or, I'm sorry, Jurassic World.
Jeez, you're going to go to the wrong movie, Scott.
Yeah, because they're going to be in the...
Well, they'll probably bring it back, and you'll be sitting in the wrong theater. Like, that'll look like Chris Pratt. Are you guys... Well, you guys are really dying down over there. Do you not want to see Jurassic World? Ooh, I don't think Justin wants to see it.
I'll see it, but I can't say that if the movie... If they suddenly said, you know what... We've had some emails from dinosaurs that are angry and they're going to come back and eat us all if we show it, so we're going to pull it. I can't say I would be all that bothered.
How are they going to write with those little hands?
Well, not all dinosaurs had those T-Rex arms.
Okay.
Yeah, they can't write very well, but they make great typists.
That's right. I mean, have you seen a T-Rex text? Those hands are right up there.
Bam. Sent.
I'm really pumped for that. You guys really aren't that jazzed?
No, I am. I'm excited for it. I love the franchise. And you know, the visual stuff looks right up the, you know, on par with the others. I'm scared about the writing. It you know, I'm sorry, the little bit that you see Chris Pratt in there in the trailer where his lines look, oh God, I don't know, like Steven Seagal-ish or something. I mean, they watch the trailer again and pay attention to his dialogue. It is very short, very few simple words.
We better look out.
You guys think you're above nature, but you ain't above mine.
What's, you know, what's on the other side of the fence?
It looks horrible, bad. Chris Pratt, and a bad Seagal too.
So I don't know. I've got some hesitations about it. Will I go see it? Absolutely. But
You got a problem with Pratt's delivery, but you're cool with cars flying on a fucking airplane.
I don't care
airplanes.
About his delivery. I care about the writing. That's what I'm worried about.
Once again, but you're okay with flying cars.
And who's not?
I'm okay with it.
All right.
I'm good.
Just bring it up.
Okay. Your point's dumb. You lose.
Any other?
But what about you, Aaron? Are you excited for Crimson Peak?
Well, that sounds more like a movie you'd be excited about, but I like the mention, brother. Yes. The, Guillermo del Toro movie.
Guillermo.
I can't say it right.
Guillermo
del Toro.
Good Lord.
It's a new movie with Jax Teller in it. And it's like a horror movie, right? Isn't it supposed to be like a thriller?
It's a horror. That's why I asked you. You are a horror aficionado.
I definitely want to see that. Del Toro does fantastic horror. Pan's Labyrinth is I think one of the best horrific movies ever made. So I can't wait to see what he does. Do you think he's going to do anything different with this, or is it going to be just a typical horror movie? I don't really know much about it.
It's just all I know is it's a haunted horror movie. Guillermo del Toro. That's all I need to know. Did I say haunted horror?
You said haunted horror. Yeah.
Haunted house. What the fuck?
What about, I got one, Tomorrowland.
Oh.
That's been a really under the radar. It's kind of getting a little bit more buzz because of the trailer, but there hasn't been a whole lot about it. It comes out Memorial Day weekend.
I've only seen the teaser, and that teaser is one of the best I've seen. I don't even know what that movie is, but I have to see it. I mean, it was so awesome.
Does anybody know anything about it other than a girl picks up a coin and when she touches the coin, she ends up in some magical land?
No.
Literally all I know.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad Bird, I think, directed it, right? The Incredibles and Mission Impossible 5.
Oh, yeah. I think I did hear that.
Okay. What else? There's got to be other movies you're excited about.
Pixels.
The Adam Sandler movie?
I get like maybe one or two video game movies a year, man. Let me have that one.
Well, please explain what it's about or when it comes out.
It's a silly story, but apparently Kevin James is the president, if I remember correctly.
Seems logical.
And he and his Adam Sandler and he grew up playing video games as kids. And as when they get older and Kevin James is now the president, the world is overtaken by aliens, and he recruits Adam Sandler, who's really good at video games, to help stop the invasion and has something in. That's about all I know. But Peter Dinklage is in it, and he looks like a badass. And the trailers look fantastic, very retro video games. So I'm stoked for it.
Okay.
I'm probably the only
looking forward to Chappie.
Oh, yeah, that looks good.
Neil Blomkamp.
Nope. And I'm looking forward to The Last Witch Hunter with Vin Diesel.
Now, I haven't seen anything on that yet. I know it's like October, I think. The last I looked, have they shown a trailer or anything for that yet? I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen any. It's just more the idea of that character and that kind of story, and then Vin Diesel. I'm a Vin Diesel fan, so I'm certainly going to be watching it.
I love the Diesel. Last two. Real quick,
I'll toss in one last one here. The Chris Hemsworth movie that's coming out pretty soon.
Oh, Black Hat.
No, a little bit further down the road, in the heart of the sea.
Moby Dick.
Oh, yeah, what Moby Dick was based on. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's, that looks phenomenal. It's directed by Ron Howard, so you got to figure there's some pretty good, you know, pretty good guy behind the camera. Yep.
Yeah.
What about Spectre? People excited for Spectre, the new Bond movie?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And Mockingjay Part 2, that comes out this year. It's going to be a great year for movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which should have been Mockingjay Part 1, probably, as well. You should have just combined them.
Yeah.
Big old
Pitch
opus.
Perfect, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's
going to be a busy weekend for me.
Why, what comes out that weekend?
Mad Max comes out that same weekend.
Are you going to see two movies in a week?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Those are two must-sees for
you
me.
You said, mm-hmm, a little inappropriately. Like, and
it's Kendrick. It's a sequel to one of my favorite movies, and there's a bunch of Green Bay Packers in it. I got to see it.
Okay. Yeah, I think we can probably move on. There's a lot of movies coming out. Unless there's anything else anybody wanted to mention before we move on.
MI5 and Terminator Genesis. Looking forward to both of those.
Scott, any other ones?
Are we going to move on to TV shows, or are we talking about those as well?
Nope, that was just movies. We're going to talk about something else for TV.
Okay.
There's a whole format there.
Well
I guess, yeah, that's TV. Is there TV shows you're looking forward to?
Did mention.
Hey, I know what I said. I just forgot I said it.
Fair enough.
All right, so yell at me for it then.
Scott?
We can all agree you're wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
What TV shows would you like to mention, Scott?
There's one that's actually coming out this month called Togetherness. It's on HBO, I believe.
I never even heard of this.
It's Mark Duplass, the guy from The League, and Amanda Peet. It looks really good. It's a... It looks like a comedy slash drama in the vein of Parenthood, kind of like that, but it's on HBO, so they can get away with it a little bit more.
Okay.
It just feels like a real story, for lack of a better way to describe it. Just real people that are struggling with their marriage, but in funny ways, and saying out loud what you normally don't say out loud to your spouse or something like that. It just looks really interesting, and I'm stoked to see it. It comes out this month. January 11th, actually.
Sweet. Anything else, Scott?
Yeah, there's a Netflix show. Actually, NBC originally got it, and then they switched it to Netflix called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It's got
Tina Fey, right?
She wrote it. Yes, okay. But it's got the her name is escaping me. I apologize, but she was on Bridesmaids, and I think Parks and Rec or The Office. She was on The Office and Bridesmaids. She was the
you got me.
You'd know if you saw her. The story on that one is
we'll just call her Sheila.
I can look it up if you want, but no, the story is this girl has been
Mindy Kaling.
Thank you, Mindy Kaling. No.
It's not Mindy Kaling. No, she's got her own show.
It's called The Office, right?
She's on The Office as well.
Was she not an actress on The Office?
She was, yeah.
Okay. But all right.
But that's not her current show.
She's in a show called Mindy.
Nobody's current show is The Office.
Damn it, Brian. Go ahead, Scott.
Anyway, the story of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is like this girl that has been in a cult for the past 15 years, and she ran away or escaped and decides to live in New York City. That premise just sounds hilarious to me, especially with Tina Fey behind it. Have you guys seen anything on this? I think
I've just seen a snippet. I'll watch it when it comes out, but yeah. I don't know anything else about it. And the only other thing I want to mention is probably Daredevil. That comes out in April. That looks like it's going to be on Netflix, and supposedly it's going to be one of those shows where everything comes out at once. So I'm looking forward to that.
Everyone feels like kind of lackluster on Better Call Saul, or is it just cautiously optimistic?
I've got no interest at all.
Really?
So moving on, these are the shows or movies that you're nervous about? That?
Oh, yeah, probably. I am kind of nervous about that one.
Why are you guys worried about that show?
I'm not worried. I just got no interest in it. To me, Breaking Bad isn't a comedy, and I just feel like that's what they're turning the whole franchise into, and it's just they're just trying to squeeze more ratings out of the Breaking Bad teat, so to speak. So
I've heard that it's coming out much darker than Vince Gilligan ever originally intended.
It could be, but I mean, the whole appeal to Saul was he was that comedic levity, you know, that balance with as dark as everything else is, he was that little bit of balance that kind of tilted the scales a little bit back. So I'd like him as, you know, he's He's like an ingredient in a dish. He was a great ingredient in that dish. I don't want him as the main course.
Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about the Walking Dead one. Cobalt or whatever they're calling it.
It's going to be in L.A., right?
I just feel like it's, you know, CSI L.A. and, you know, CSI New York. I don't need Walking Dead New Orleans and Walking Dead L.A. and Walking Dead Oregon. I don't need that.
I do.
Yeah, of course you do. You need more zombie shows?
Yeah. I need more good zombie stuff. That sci-fi bullshit that they did is horrible.
Those are the only ones that really make me nervous. Justin, anything that you're worried about?
None that I'm really worried about. I'm looking forward to Sense8 and 12 Monkeys. But one show that I'm surprised I want to watch it is Empire. It's that R&B show that has Terrence Howard in the lead.
It's hard out here for a pimp.
You beat me to it.
Sorry. You know it's got to be in every review that comes out for that show.
Well, considering that the two main characters are from Hustle and Flow, yeah. But, you know, I really like Terrence Howard, and he's enough to make me interested in this show that in every other way looks like a soap opera. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to give it a shot. I'm hopeful. If it does turn out to just be a evening soap opera and doesn't really have much to offer music-wise or performance-wise, then I'll probably give it an eventual pass. But I'm going to check it out.
And they're advertising the hell out of that.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Now, last portion of the 2015 talk. What are there any other actors or directors or anything that you're a fan of, but a few others, very few other people really appreciate that you're kind of hoping breaks out this year?
Eddie Redmayne is funny. You mentioned him earlier. He was the guy that I picked as kind of being a kind of a breakout type of guy.
I believe I said Freddie Highmore or something. I believe I got it completely wrong. So,
yeah, I think you said Freddie Mercury. I don't
something like that.
I mean, they're both British, but whatever. He's just one of those guys that I don't know. For some reason, I've stumbled across one thing or another that he's done lately, and I've just been more impressed. And I still haven't seen The Theory of Everything yet, but he's got that one. You know. He's got that one here going on, and again, he's got Jupiter Ascending, and he's got a couple more coming out in the future. So, I just think his star is not only rising, but it's shooting up pretty quick. And I think he's going to be one of those people that, like Benedict Cumberbatch and Cillian Murphy, that is going to we're going to be seeing a lot more of, and I hope so because he's a pretty good actor.
I'd like to see more of Kate Mara this year. After her performance in House of Cards. Well,
yeah. She's in that Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, coming up.
Yeah, which was going to be my movie or show that I was nervous as hell about that you just kind of breezed on past me by. So.
Brian, make up your mind. Half the time you want to skip a topic, half the time you want to spend more time on it. I can't keep up with you. I can't meet your demands. Fucking Mariah Carey. I can't keep up with all the green M&Ms you demand on a weekly basis. So you, let Scott finish. Go ahead, Scott. I want to hear more about what you have to say. Fuck Brian.
No, I really liked your performance. Not necessarily her, as was just alluded to, and seeing more of her. That's not what I was getting at. I think she's super talented, and I know it was like borderline a lead role for her, but I think she's underused. I'd like to see her in a lot more. Her sister seems to get more of the credit for being a great actor, and I think she's a better actor than Rooney Mara.
I don't agree with that, but no. I do agree she's good. Rooney Mara is a really good actress.
The only standout role I have from her is Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Side Effects.
That was what, 3 years ago?
Side Effects. Go see Side Effects. She's really good in that movie.
Yeah.
She's very talented. Justin, because we'll come back to Brian eventually.
No, I was actually, the first topic in the TV discussion from the outside in kind of covers this for me.
Okay.
So Brian. I'll hold my...
All right.
Shit.
Brian, is there anything else you would like to say?
Who cares? Let's go on.
Yeah. Fuck off. Go on. Shit, bird.
Last chance. I want Walton Goggins to finally get some clout.
Who cares? What's the top five films of 2014?
You shut up. Walton Goggins is a guy. He plays Boyd Crowder on Justified. He's been in a lot of movies. He was in Django Unchained. He's been in a lot of stuff. And
Venus?
Yes, Venus. He was Venus on Sons of Anarchy. He had a great pair of tatas. And he's going to be in Justified's last season this year, as well as The Hateful Eight come Christmas. And I really hope this takes him, because if you've ever seen his work, the guy's phenomenal. He's a great actor, and I'd love to see him get some catch fire.
So great in The Shield.
Yeah, he was great in The Shield. He's great in everything he does. Especially Venus. Before we move on, listener top three, most anticipated.
Who cares? Move on.
We had...
Who invited him?
I did. We had over 100 responses, so it's a pretty good tally. Here are the top...
Oh, God, you got to read them all.
No, three. The top three most anticipated movies, according to listeners, for 2015. Number three, The Avengers Age of Ultron. Kind of surprised it made number three. Like, I thought it'd be higher. Number two, Mad Max Fury Road. And number one...
Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars The Force Awakens. Box office, top five films of 2014, as of this recording. So as of January, whatever today is, 7th or 8th, something. Guardians of the Galaxy is at number one with $333 million domestic. Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1, $324.8 million. Captain America The Winter Soldier, $259.7 million. The Lego Movie, $257.7 million.
That's awesome.
Yeah, everything is awesome. And Transformers Age of Extinction, $245 million, which is by far the lowest Transformers. Now, The Hobbit 3 should end up in here somewhere because it's like at 224 and they forecast 260 when it's all said and done. Worldwide, which is really what studios look at now. Can any guess at what the number one movie of the year is worldwide?
Something with Johnny Depp.
Transformers.
Bingo. Age of Extinction, Transformers, $1 billion.
Wow.
Billion. Guardians of the Galaxy is at number two with $772 million. Maleficent, $757 million. X-Men Days of Future Past, which had never made over $500 million worldwide, made $748 million. So that's pretty good. And right now, The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies, $727 million. They're forecasting that'll get really close to $900 million, if not more.
Peter Jackson's not having to go on food stamps just yet.
Yeah, he's fighting the urge, but I think he'll be all right.
What's this movie?
What's this movie? Each week we play ours or a listener suggests a clip from a movie. And if you think you know what the clip is, email us feedback at thehollywoodoutsider.com and next week we'll give you a proper whole shout out. Last week's answer was actually a listener's, Dustin Baker, or actually a couple weeks ago. And the movie was Noises Off, which only two people got correct. We had a lot of wrong answers. Apologies that you guys didn't get it. A lot of people guessed Sleuth, which is exactly what I thought it was, and it is not. Noises Off. David Crismore and Craig Schermerhorn, congratulations to you two. Woo-hoo! Did you guys get that? Anybody ever seen Noises Off?
I didn't even know that movie existed.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, this week it's my pick, and if you think you know what it is, email us feedback at thehollywoodoutsider.com. And I decided since the new year, I'm going to use my favorite New Year clip ever. Here it goes.
How about this way? I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend a day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely, and it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
Hey.
Oh, I love that movie so much. Oh.
All right, we can now move on to the Hole Awards, the fourth annual Hole Awards. I can't believe we've done this four times. We're going to talk about the best of 2014, but we're going to do it the way that we like to do it, which is we'll talk about stuff that we care about, not necessarily how other people do it. Now, before we get to individual stuff, before we get into the individual things on television and movies, tell everybody what singular moment in either film or TV, whichever it was, moved you the most in 2014.
Man, mine is going to be super cheesy, but I don't care. There's a scene.
He's already crying?
I think so.
No, it's not that bad. It's hard to tell this without giving a spoiler. I went and saw The Fault in Our Stars with you. There's a scene at the end where...
Oh.
You don't have to say what happens.
God, right.
No, pussy. I cried.
You did see it?
That movie. Yeah. I saw it on the cruise ship.
Okay. And you liked it?
It was okay. I liked it well enough, but that ending, I just cried.
Yeah, it was...
like a bitch.
Okay, see?
So there's your moment. There's
that was
Scott,
my moment.
There's your moment.
I can't say what it is, but...
It's okay. People that have seen the movie, they know.
Yeah. It was really well done.
And what, she
spoiler,
dies?
Spoiler, somebody dies.
Brian?
Well, she's got fucking cancer. I'm assuming...
Yeah, no, hey, dies. Don't always assume the worst. People beat cancer. Unser beat cancer forever. That fucker never got sick. Damn. Brian?
And no, it wasn't her that died. So you're wrong in your assumption, Brian. Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Well, there's... Okay. I stand corrected. He's got leukemia.
There you go.
Whatever. One of them's fucking dying. They're both sick as fuck.
Neither one. Just move on. What is your pick? Yeah. Did anything move you, you cold, heartless bastard?
Yeah, well, you know, when Sylvester Stallone in Expendables 3. No, just kidding.
It sounds like you. It actually sounds like you.
When Wesley Snipes broke out of prison, God, it sent me to tears.
He talked about crying through a mile of shit and coming out clean on the other side.
You're such a dip.
Actually, the Grove.
You fucking bitch.
The Walking Dead episode that is, to me, by far the best episode I think that they've ever done is just, I guess I could spoil it, but I'm not going to, just in case there's a few people who just catch up, binge watch it on Netflix. But The Grove is, never have I seen an episode where I've wanted something to happen and something not to happen so much, you know, at the same time. So that one, I've probably watched that episode 5 or 6 times, by far way more than any other episode I've ever watched. So
Justin,
well, at the end of the last Lost episode, when Jack's looking up,
new stuff.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
New? Okay. No. Yeah, it's the same thing as what Brian just talked about. That was, I'd never seen a television show do what it did. And yet you completely understood why it happened and had to happen. But yet it's just so devastating. It really is one of the most powerful moments of television I think I've ever seen.
Well, since I'm going to pull a Justin, and since you guys both took what I was going to say.
And be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. My new book, A Crooked Magic, comes out in February.
Crooked Magic.
I'm going to go with my second pick, which was the ending of the fight in the pit and the viper of Game of Thrones.
Mm.
And I can't see what happens, but I don't want to say that I was saddened, but I was moved because I literally jumped off my couch or off someone else's couch
and
screamed my head off because I just did not believe everything was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the visceral reaction that caused is second only to The Grove for the year. It's funny that we all, well, other than Scott, he picked a movie. The sad, sad cancer movie. All right. TV. Let's start with TV. The whole awards. What show that nobody's talking about do you hope people finally find? Like, what show is just, you just want people to start watching it?
I've mentioned it a few times on Facebook. It's a sci-fi show called Helix. I'd heard some generally positive things about it. It was enough to make me decide to go ahead and give it a watch since it was on Netflix. And I gotta say, there's something about it that is just incredibly compelling. It doesn't just hand you all the answers when you want them or right up front. It creates mysteries early on that it just slowly doles out information to you about them as the season goes on. It's only like 13 episodes, I think, 13 or 14. It's not a huge investment of your time. It is available on Netflix, the first season. The second season is just about to start, but I think I'm going to keep to the Netflix watching because I like to be able to binge watch that show. But it is so good, and yet it requires such minimal budget and that kind of thing. It's really well done, and you know, all kudos to sci-fi for for creating it.
That's good. I keep wanting to watch it based on yours and other recommendations. So at some point, I am going to barrel through that. Definitely barrel through that. I'm glad to hear it's as good as people say. Brian, what about you? What would you say is the show you want people to start watching?
It's on Cinemax, so it's a little bit less, I guess, accessible for the general public. But it's called Strike Back. The last season is coming up this year. It's an action show. It's not very deep, but it is. There is some very good action. It's got the guy, the one guy you would recognize the most is he was the lead in 300 Rise of an Empire. So don't hold that against him.
gotta get work, brother. Gotta eat.
It's one of those things where like this last season, like you see them evolve and. You know, you've got an American guy that's paired up with a special forces guy that's paired up with a British special forces guy. And of course, they're sent to do crazy missions that, nobody else will or can do, that kind of stuff. Blah, blah, blah.
Expendables for television.
Their relationship grow and stuff. And then to me, the last episode of this past season it was almost like I wish they would have just ended it there because it was such a great way to wrap it up. And I don't know if they were anticipating that was going to be the last episode or if that was just like a way they kind of wrapped up the threads they had. But it was just there was a couple of really, really just cool moments. It's a good bro movie.
Is that similar to Banshee? Because I've heard a lot of people talk about Banshee, too.
I watched, Banshee's getting a lot of hype and publicity and stuff lately, and I don't know why. I've watched the first half of the first season, and I just could not get into it. Okay. I tried. I just couldn't, just something about it, I just couldn't get latched onto it.
I'm still going for Justified, man. It's a show that I think some of us like. Some of us have watched it. I don't know, Scott, have you ever seen Justified?
Oh, I saw the first two seasons.
Okay. Most people I talk to about it have no idea what it is. They just,
what?
Yeah, I swear to God, I talk to people at work like, what? What's Justified? And then you look at the ratings, and it's really not a huge show. I just keep thinking it is because I keep talking to you guys, and you guys know what it is. But apparently, not many people that I know actually watch it. Tim Oliphant is Raylan Givens. Tim Oliphant's been a great character actor for years. He did Deadwood for several years, and he's just an angry U.S. Marshal. And this is the final season of the show. I think it's a great time for people to catch up. I've been rewatching all the seasons, getting ready for the final season. And I think I'm in the middle of season 3 now, so I've only got 2.5 left. And I still love it. And Walton Goggins, who I mentioned before, plays his arch nemesis, old friend, Boyd Crowder, who's really ultimately the big villain of the story. And his character just evolves and just does crazy shit every season. And I get every year, I think there's got to be a time where I'm just sick of this character and it hasn't happened yet. I just love him. And those two just work well together. I just love it. Just love it.
I'm going a little unconventional with my pick. I'm not doing one that's like a story-driven show whatsoever, but The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon has brought me back to late night interview TV shows.
Really?
He is so entertaining to watch. We've literally got about 30 episodes on our DVR right now, and we're going to go back and watch them.
DVR, see, that's interesting. I mean, he's that good.
I know. It's like he does interesting things with his guests. It's not just an interview. He always comes up with some clever game to play or some goofy thing, like whether it be a lip sync battle or they played war and got to throw and the loser had got to throw water in the other's face or something. Just goofy, random stuff that is just genuinely clever. He is seriously funny, and I just love what he's done to late night. He's made it interesting again. So that's the one I kind of wish people would give, because even when you do the interviews are more interesting than I ever remember interviews being. They always kind of felt almost scripted before, even like with Leno and Letterman. And they just seem like a couple of buddies just sitting around talking or learning about each other and just having a good time, not there for the ratings' sake. So I hope
content-wise, he is probably one of the most creative ones that I've seen in a very long time, especially with the skits and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Great stuff for YouTube.
Yeah. It's like he knows social media. I mean, it seems like he designs his show for social media almost.
He does. I follow him on Twitter, actually, and he interacts with his fans in just interesting ways that you don't see normal people do. He's very in tune with, it's like a younger demographic, definitely.
That's nice. Now, what about, we're going to do some of our awards now, and then we'll talk a couple things up. What was your favorite lead, or who was your favorite lead, I should say, on TV? We're not doing male and female anymore. We got sick of doing things the way everybody else does it, so we're just going to do it our way. Instead of all that shit, who's your favorite lead, period, on TV? Brian?
Oh, man, you're gonna hate me for this one. But I'm going to go with Rick Grimes.
I'm actually not. I actually won't. Not this season, I won't, no.
Cool. I just like the way that his character has grown. He's turned, like, back to the old Rick, but a darker, more.
When the fuck did the old Rick bite people in the throat? I don't think that ever happened.
I threw a butt in there.
Just making up ass shit that happened that never happened.
No, look, he ain't whiny, passive. You know, I don't. You know, you guys just you make the decision. I'm going to sit here and farm rutabagas. You know. No, he's not that Rick. He's badass Rick, but he's fucking dark.
I don't think I'd want to be hanging out with Rick if I was on that group.
I didn't
anymore.
Say I wanted to have a beer with him.
No, I'm saying if I was part of that group, I kind of understand why Glenn wanted to leave. I think secretly he's like, if we don't get out of here, we're going to get bit in the throat at some point.
And we're going to get it.
Yep. We're going to get edited. I don't want to get edited.
Yeah. Yeah. The mullet. That's a good, you know.
Exactly.
It's a good choice.
My pick is Matthew McConaughey, True Detective. I don't know if I saw a performance that disturbed me as much as his throughout the year. And I really tried. Honestly, Brian, Rick Grimes was my second. If I assumed you were going to pick McConaughey, so I had Grimes on back order.
Well, actually, McConaughey was my second.
Oh,
so.
We got each other's back, brother. High five.
That's right. What? Psh,
psh. Mike, fist bump. Scott, who's yours?
Mine is Peter Dinklage in Game of Thrones. He just gets better and better every season. He's one of the main reasons why I watch that show. He just every scene he's in, whether he's being funny, whether he's being a womanizer, whether he's being, or he's not. He wasn't really much of a womanizer this season, was he? Whether he's badass, whether he's just everything he does is just so entertaining to watch, and I can't wait for the next season. But he was so good, so good.
Fair enough. I like to say fair enough. I'm going to say it every chance I get.
How good?
Fair so enough. Good. Justin?
You know, I'm going to give this one to Eva Green for Penny Dreadful.
Oh, nice. Nice choice.
Her character is one that a lesser actress who would have to go through some of the scenes that she does. You know, some of these possession scenes where Eva Green just has to go whole hog with what she says and how she acts, and her whole personality changes. It is such a tough character to have to portray, but she does it with such skill that it's almost hard to think that she's actually not that person. I find her incredibly watchable, not just because she's beautiful, but because she has real acting talent that she brings to everything she does. And she's a force of nature in this show. I hope more people catch it in the next season, but she really blew me away.
I wish that's a show I wish more people would see too. Penny Dreadful has turned out to be great television. I was really kind of leery the first couple episodes, but actually, I think
it's not all that dreadful.
It's not. Actually, I think Justin finishing it out, yeah, it was really bad. We're trying to move past it. Scott's actually cringing at that one, Justin. the fact that he recommended after he finished it, I ended up going through it, and it was a really interesting show, and the way it ended was great. Look forward to a new season. Who was the biggest badass on TV?
Red from Orange is the New Black, played by Kate Mulgrew, was a
really? That's an interesting choice.
In the second season. Some of the stuff she pulled was so maniacal and twisted, but you were cheering for her at the same time. I thought she was a badass.
Is she doing most of the dirty work, or she has other people do her dirty work?
Have you not seen it?
I haven't finished second season.
Season?
I'm still only like 4 episodes in.
She does a good amount of it in the second season, so.
I gotta finish that up. I gotta finish it up. Justin?
You know, kind of dovetailing in with what you guys were talking about earlier, for me, the Mountain in Game of Thrones, he did. I mean, first off, you know, this character's been played by three different people. I'm not going to say what he did. Okay. The character's been played by three different guys throughout the course of, what, 4 seasons, 5?
Mm-hmm.
This new guy, not only is he perfect for this character, but he's been given the title of the Europe's strongest man or something. I saw him in this strongman competition. The guy's a fucking beast.
He's a mountain.
He is a mountain of muscle and flesh. And in Game of Thrones, in that episode, it was devastating. And I'm like, all right, that dude could kill dragons with his own hands.
Dragons.
I mean, the fucker would just grab them, choke them out, and then go on with his day.
Where are my dragons? Let them go.
Oh, that's he is funny. So badass.
That's, I can't argue with you. I went a different route, and this is a show I just got for Christmas, just watched it. All the people raving about it, and I'm like, it's not going to live up to its potential. But Billy Bob Thornton in Fargo, holy shit, was he awesome. Never thought he would be, and I like Billy Bob Thornton, just never thought he would be as good as he was. I think people assume, because he's played one or two bad guys, that he's played a lot. He hasn't done that many.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Yep. And in this one, the things that he does and the extent of evil he has in him is just, it's awesome. There's actually a scene in one of the episodes where he takes out an entire organized crime unit. You never actually see what happens, but you know, because of the way that they built the character up, exactly what he's doing in there. And it fucks with your head. It's that good. So, loved him. Brian?
Yeah. My guy is the Mountain also.
Lots of mountain love.
There he is. The guy, like you say, let's just say he took a lot. And,
no, that's Brokeback Mountain. Different thing.
Oh, okay. Different.
His mountain don't take.
Exactly.
Oh, he definitely he did more giving than taking, but he definitely but he took a lot.
Mountain don't take.
So, but yeah, the Mountain. I mean, that guy lived up to all, you know, for the 3 years before and all this talk about how, I mean, we've seen some of the stuff he's done, but there's all this fear and all this. You know, even Braun, as great of a, you know, fighting talent as he is, even he was scared to death of him. And admittedly was like, yeah, I'd be fucking stupid if I wasn't scared of him.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do it. Sorry, Ben.
Sorry. Yeah.
You need a champion? Nah, I got shit to do, bro. I'm booked.
Yeah, can I change mine?
No. Mm-mm. Nope, you committed. You committed. You
I forgot
the,
about the Mountain.
You picked the old lady in Orange is the New Black.
Oh, she's a badass.
I'm sure her and the Mountain could go at it.
Yeah. No.
Mountain would kick her head off.
Probably.
He probably would.
And then eat soup out of it.
In the kitchen. Yep, there you go. That's where the soup would be served. Taking a break from awards. Is TV still the place to go for storytelling? Is that, we've talked about that before. We've said in the past that is where the best stories are being told. Do you still think that's true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're getting better and better television as things go on with, you know, Netflix and Amazon and Hulu. Yahoo is getting into the mix. There's lots of new avenues for television. You know, not all of it has to be tailored to the lowest common denominator, which so much of your standard network seems to provide. It's really getting out there and telling really cool stories. And I am so glad to be able to sit here and experience all of it. So definitely.
I gotta agree. It's a world where, and it's hard to explain. Take comic book movies, right? I think comic book movies are fun to go to. I like to go, but I never really feel like I'm getting a dark story, except maybe the Batman trilogy. I feel like it's more heroes doing heroic shit. Then I come home and I watch a show like Arrow or The Flash.
It's not a real trilogy.
Anyway, Arrow or The Flash. Nice, Brian. Nice. And I feel like I'm getting a real story being laid out over 23 episodes. I watch like Walking Dead, which I feel like is really giving me character depth that I would never get in a normal zombie movie in a theater. You know, and then there's little things like the stuff I love, which is Psych, which ended this year, sadly, this past year. But those stories where you get characters that you come to appreciate and enjoy just because you get to see them every single week, mm-hmm. you know, I just don't think there's anywhere I can get that in a theater that I think TV is still the best storytelling.
The problem for me is that those week-to-week moments are awesome. You know what I mean? I'm at the point where the only time I'm going to get those TV experiences are if I binge watch them on Netflix or something like that, and then I almost get burnt out on them. I'm trying to finish up, as an example, I'm trying to finish up the seventh season of Sons of Anarchy right now. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for that show to be done just because that's all I've watched. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that burns you out.
But it's hard to get into a new show because you never know if it's going to stick around anymore. One of my favorite shows from last year got canceled after like 5 episodes, and I don't even know if I'm ever going to be able to see the whole thing now if they ever finished it. You know what I mean? So, like, I love the week to week, but I don't feel like I should have to wait until the second or third season to really commit to it. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't have to. If you watched it when it first came out, more people did that, it would still be there. It's catch 22.
Yeah,
it's catch 22. You invest the time, you risk that by the show getting canceled prematurely. Mm-hmm. But if you don't watch it, most people don't watch it, then it's not going to be there anyway.
Exactly.
So there's always that catch 22. Brian, what about you? Do you think it's still the best?
TV. It's really just kind of echoing a lot of your comments. You know, you just got longer time to build a story, to stretch out the arc the way that it, you know, probably needs to go. I just think there are certain shows and certain subjects that they need to, from the get go, say, this is going to stop this year. Or we're going to get this far, but end it like it should end in maybe no more than the second season. You know, the shows like The Killing or, you know, Homeland or something like that. It's just where the whole premise of it is something that is very short-sighted. Mm-hmm. You know, Homeland, for instance, was all about, is this guy that's this war hero coming back, is he a turned agent? Well, once you find out whether he is or isn't, you know, there's not a whole lot else to do after that.
That's true. You got to make sure you know what your story is that you want to be telling. And
yeah. So there are certain things and depending on whether it's network or cable, depending on how many episodes, you know, some of these just seem to get drawn out and drawn out and drawn out, and 24 episodes may be a bit long, but for the most part, it's just easier to tell all the aspects of a story whenever you've got anywhere from 10 to 24 hours to tell it versus two.
I really dig the cable networks and whatnot shortening their series mm-hmm. seasons too. And I know some people are like, well, you're not getting less TV. I would much rather have less TV and more impactful storytelling right. than I would 24 episodes.
I like that some studios are beginning to get studios are getting more comfortable with the idea of not having to have a show that's going to last 8 or 9 seasons. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or something like a True Detective where you have one self-contained season and then it's done. And then we move on to another season that's the same.
Different characters, yeah.
Completely different characters and everything. That's what I like. It's like I don't have to, you know, get caught up on 6 seasons of something, you know, like you talk about 24 all the time, and I really want to watch that show, but then I look and I'm like, what is there, like 9 seasons or something?
There's a few. 8.5.
8.5? I'm like, man, I just...
But you can actually watch the newest one and not have to have really seen all the other ones.
Right.
Yeah. There's some past history, but you can really watch it without having to...
But I won't do that. I would never... I would start from the beginning.
I will help you out, Scott. I will get you through it. I know it's tough. Are there any shows that you guys are a fan of legitimately, but they need to end?
I got one. I love the show. I think it really had especially a strong first five seasons, but Supernatural somehow keeps trying to find new ways to create new seasons. And at this point, it just kind of feels so retread and done that, you know, I still enjoy it because Supernatural is a show that's easy to like. But this first five seasons had such a driving, compelling story arc, and now they just don't. And I kind of wish it would have gone out on a high note rather than just limp along. So Supernatural, I love you, but it's time to head off to the great beyond.
I got to go with Law and Order SVU.
Hmm.
I used to love that show, and now when it comes on, I just want to stab myself in the eye. Because Mariska Hargitay, I like her. She's a great actress. She really is. Just wonderful actress. But damn, how many rape stories and child abuse stories and everything. It's gotten to the point where I'm afraid if I watch it, I'm guilty by association or something. I just feel dirty now watching it. I just don't want to watch it anymore. I just end it.
So do you have a problem with like To Catch a Criminal back in the day then too? Did you...
No, I got tips in that show. To Catch a Predator? Yeah, that's how you find out how to make things work right for you.
Have a seat, Aaron.
Is that what tipped you off to get rid of the vodka, condoms, and handcuffs out of your
exactly.
out of the trunk of your car?
Exactly. Now I keep them in a nice little fanny pack under the front seat.
Sweet.
He knows to call out the Pizza Hut delivery guy to that house first.
Exactly. Nice. Justin has a fucking plan.
Wow.
Wow. I love it.
And I can't shit for the demonic dolls and stuff in the house.
Justin has
he's got the plan already.
He's got a plan. Oh, I like it. Why didn't anybody ever think of that? Call in Domino's and just wait.
Well, I do have to give credit where credit's due. Adam Carolla had that idea.
Oh, so you stole it. That's a good idea.
I appropriated it.
Mm-hmm. It's like you Tarantino'd it.
Uh-huh. It's an homage.
Kind of like your books.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, your number one favorite TV moment of the year. Go.
Mountain versus the Red Viper.
Okay.
Mine's going to be Tyrion's speech during his trial in Game of Thrones as well. That speech was awesome.
That was a really good speech.
It was.
Yeah.
I need to rewatch that season soon.
It's coming out soon. It's coming out. Well, I guess you got HBO Go password, don't you?
I sure do. What's up, Brian?
It might be changed.
Fuck off. They're not.
That would be awesome. Do it right
He's
before.
Like, no, it's not. I just watched something earlier.
Do it right before it premieres. Do it. Mine was in the, and I'm going to explain it because otherwise it'll be a spoiler, but in the psych finale, Sean Spencer, well, in the series, he's been pretending to be a psychic for the whole time, mm-hmm. the entire time. During the finale, he makes this video for Lassiter, who's the one cop who always suspected he was a fake, like the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And the video essentially gives him the answer to the question he always wanted, which is he a fake or isn't he? And it's how Lassiter handles that moment. I won't say what he does, but it's literally the sweetest thing I saw on TV the entire year. And I almost caught a tear.
Almost?
Almost. I was pretty close. But in a show that's actually more about laughs, it was nice to have a really sweet moment in the end. It was very cool. Justin?
Well, we've already given enough Game of Thrones love, so I'm going to throw out a curveball. One of the things that I really love about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that it follows its storyline and the Marvel Films storylines are intertwined. And so when Winter Soldier came out, the story that it had greatly impacted the rest of the Marvel Universe, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. picked up right with that. I love that. But there was a moment near the end of the first season, probably about the middle, when one of the characters who is an agent is revealed to be who they truly are. And I have to say, honestly, I never saw it coming.
Mm.
That
was a nice little
surprise.
Really
great reveal.
Gotcha. Nice picks, everybody. Now, the listener top three for the best TV series. This is what listeners decided were their top three TV shows for 2014. Number three, The Walking Dead. No big surprise. Number two, True Detective, which I was kind of surprised beat out Walking Dead. And number one, Game of Thrones, by a landslide, by the way. By a landslide.
Wow.
Yeah.
By a mountain?
By a mountain. All right, let's go to movies. It's movie time. Let's do the movie awards. What movie pissed you off the most, Scott?
Godzilla.
Really? Why?
Just for the sheer fact that all the cool fight scenes that I wanted to see,
we had to see
in little screens, little TV screens, and didn't even see the whole thing. Like, you go to a Godzilla movie to see that stuff. You don't go to see it in just like a 4-second thing on a TV in a newscast or whatever. That made me so angry. Show that!
Can I tell you, I liked the movie when it came out. I think I gave it like a 7.
Mm-hmm.
And because the last 40 minutes were just fucking phenomenal. So I bought the Blu-ray, watched it at home. The fact of what you're just saying pissed me off. I would probably drop it down to like a 5. Because now that I'm home and I don't have all that, oh, I finally see Godzilla and the out of his mouth and everything. Oh, look at that. He's fighting. Now I'm just like, God damn it. Get to Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
40 minutes or a 10. But everything
what
else.
We said.
Yeah, well, I was hyped up on the flavor, man. What do you want me to tell you?
I feel you, bro.
What about you, Justin? What pissed you off?
One movie that I was really looking forward to, because I love the found footage movies, especially with horror, but Devil's Due was so fucking awful in just about every way. It's one of the few movies I left that I wish I could have gone to the box office and said, give me my fucking money back.
You must really hate that, because you've been bitching about that since you saw it last January.
That fucking movie. F it. Give me my money back.
Brian, maybe if you go back with your ticket, they'll still give it to you. It's possible. Brian,
I have it right here.
Bitch, give me my money. Brian, what about you?
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Really?
It's the one movie that's made me want to sit down and actually take up screenwriting to write a better movie. Because it's the same. They've done this same movie for 3 or 4 straight times. It's the same thing.
I just want to point out, I don't think you need to take any screenwriting classes to do better than they did.
I don't plan on it. I'll just download Final Draft or whatever it's called and just start writing.
That was, I think that's the movie I've seen get the most hate on the internet. I don't hate it, but I absolutely get
it. I didn't hate it as much as
I want to like this movie in this franchise so bad, but they do the same thing over and over and over again. A scientist, and they always go after his girlfriend at the time, and just why? Just for God's sakes, have something going on that doesn't revolve around Gwen or Mary Jane or whoever. Just have something that's threatening New York.
And he got to deal with it.
And he's got to deal
with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I got, you know, I with the first of the amazing, what the fuck?
What just happened?
I think Brian's so angry he just threw his mic.
It was very close. I made a quick movement in my passions.
Fuck that movie!
And got the cord wrapped around and didn't realize it. And whenever I turned my head, it just yanked it off the table.
Brian is not a ninja. Not at all.
Yeah, but the first Amazing Spider-Man was so good that it made Sam Raimi's Spider-Man movies kind of pale in comparison for me. The second film totally gave new life to Raimi's movies, because none of them I found as obnoxious or as boring. Even the third Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie, I didn't find just as disappointing as I found Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Andrew Garfield is a fantastic Peter Parker / Spider-Man.
Mark Webb, how do you go from the first one to the second one? How did you do that?
Electro, that's how that happened. It was Electro. I'm telling you, Electro was one of the worst choices they could have went with. Sucks as a villain in the comics, sucks as a villain in the movie. Scott, unfortunately, is the one guy that liked it. He's just sitting here going, I hope nobody asked me about it, because I really had a good time.
Well, I gave it like a 6.
I gave it a 6. I love Spider-Man. So pretty much you could just say it's Spider-Man and put him in the costume, and I'd be like, 6. Yeah. I'll be honest. It's so like really, a Wachowski movie for Justin, man.
Yep.
That's just how it goes.
I didn't even buy it. And I buy all those superhero movies.
I got it for Christmas, so I went the loophole route. mine was Sabotage. That was the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, which looked kick-ass from the guy that did Training Day. It's got a bunch of actors that I like. It's got Josh Holloway from Lost.
And he did End of Watch, which was so badass.
And he did End of Watch. The director did End of Watch. That was a great movie. This movie sucked so bad, I was visibly angry. Not visibly, which means other people witnessed my anger at this movie. I was made a scrunchy face, and I'm just like, this plot is so stupid. And I was telling people behind me, like in the audience, this is fucking stupid. And they're nodding, going, yeah, it is. It's just a really, really bad movie. I'm still angry about it.
Man, what do I have? I have this thing where if someone tells me a movie is so bad, I have to go see it.
It's on
it.
Netflix, free. Go watch it. Knock yourself out, fucking masochist.
All you lose is a couple hours of your life.
It's okay. Just grab your nuts and put them in some fisticuffs. I mean, do that. Bounce them around a little bit. That's what it felt like. Best line. What was your favorite movie line of the whole year, Justin? Favorite movie line?
It's a dance-off, bro.
Gee, what was that from?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
All right. Brian?
I am Groot. I mean, what other line from any movie has been quoted near as much?
That's true. That's true. But I got to tell you,
let's know the may the force be with you, but I get you.
It's getting there. It's getting there. I mean, there are some critics saying that Vin Diesel should be nominated for an Academy Award.
Okay, that's just a bit ridiculous.
I'm telling you, New York Times
trigger
critic said
oh,
that.
Oh, Nelly.
I am going with how do you say get the fuck out of here in Chinese from Transformers.
That one definitely made me laugh more than anything.
I still laugh when I think about it. Best part of the whole movie, too.
Yeah, it really was.
Scotty?
They got my dick message.
Oh, shit. Guardians.
That caught me so off guard when I saw it in the theater. It was so funny.
It would not. My reflexes are fast. I would catch it.
I'm surprised you didn't go with the Jackson Pollock.
Yeah. I thought you were going to as well.
I didn't. I went with because I've actually caught Transformers again, and while the movie does not hold up on the small screen, it's definitely a franchise I just have to see in a theater. It just doesn't work as well. Mm-hmm. That line is funny as shit. Mm-hmm. And I think because of all the noise, like it didn't register with me the first time I saw it, but watching it at home, like, God damn, that's funny. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. But it's so funny. Okay, who was your favorite lead? Favorite lead all year. And if you all say Chris Pratt, I'm going to end the show right now. Brian?
All right. Tom Cruise in Edge of Tomorrow.
Nice.
His transformation. Basically, he was, you know, living a video game. You know, he didn't want anything to do with this role that he was forced into and was definitely not, you know, capable of doing it. But he retried. He failed. He died. He tried it over and over again. And I think watching him, you know, progress from, you know, one
pussy
extreme to the other. Yes, exactly. Was just a pretty big jump from, you know, a lot of character arcs that there are. So by the time it was all over, he was just a hardened badass that could rock a mech suit.
I like it. Mine would be Jake Gyllenhaal, Nightcrawler, by a country mile. There's probably no performance of any sort that I saw this year that stuck with me more than that one. He kind of captured what I think most of cynical America is like and how selfish people have become and how dirty the media is these days and how it's all just a grab to smear someone's name to get headlines. And he just perfectly encaptured all of that. And I love
he banged Rene Russo.
What's that?
And he banged Rene Russo. That's a couple of points.
Yeah, that gets you a little extra, a little something, something. It's one of those roles where I saw it, and as soon as the movie was over, the first thing I thought was, he deserves an Oscar no matter what for that, because that disturbed the shit out of me. He was that good. Scott?
For me, it's Chadwick Boseman as James Brown in Get On Up.
You really liked his performance.
I did. I didn't love the movie. It wasn't fantastic. It was good, but it wasn't great. But his performance just, man, I felt like I was looking at a young James Brown. I hope more people check out that movie just to see the performance.
I really want to see it. I think it gets out, and now I can see it.
Yep.
Justin?
For me, it's Chris Evans.
Ooh, really?
From Captain America. He, that character is, because of his patriotic costume and nature, it would be so easy to play that character one note or cheesy. But Chris Evans, who is a much better director than I, not director, actor than a lot of people want to give him credit for, is still able to give that character gravity, weight, a hint of grit and darkness to him. I mean, the scene leading into the elevator fight alone is you just watch him calculate exactly what's happening, and he sees what's coming, and yet doesn't say anything until right before it starts, doesn't make a move. It's just really, really well done, and I was shocked at how good of a Captain America he is. It's, that was probably the Avenger that I figured would be the hardest to get right in a film, and he just pulls it off almost effortlessly. I really enjoy it.
That's a really good point. They could could have been so bad. And
and speaking of awesome ass kickers, what about our favorite badass? We can merge right into that. I'm going with the movie I don't think anybody else bothered to see, which was The Purge Anarchy. Frank Grillo, who plays the lead in The Purge Anarchy, surprised the fuck out of me because he's basically Snake Plissken re-envisioned. And the entire movie, all I kept thinking was, you are really close to what I want in a new Snake Plissken. And for me, being as big a fan as I am, that's like taking me out on a date and we're just going straight to bed. It's just like perfect date for me. Loved it.
Well, I didn't say he was my favorite lead, but he is my favorite badass. That's Peter Quill. I thought he was badass.
Really?
Yeah, dude. He's a different guy when he puts that mask on. He puts that mask on, all of a sudden he's doing somersaults over guys and throwing rockets and firing up his spaceship and flying through space and ripping. He's able to survive out in outer space without his mask on for a couple minutes. Like, that's a pretty badass. That's badass.
Okay. And he can dance, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, he can dance.
Mm-hmm. He can shake it like a Polaroid picture. What about you, Justin?
You know, I was originally going to go with Emily Blunt from Edge of Tomorrow because I thought her portrayal of the stoic military chick was really great.
So instead, you decided to make her an honorable mention and sneak
an honorable mention door. Because as I was looking through the list of films that came out last year, I can't believe I fucking forgot John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
Keanu Reeves' performance as John Wick. I mean, the shooting, the fighting. It was that character. I would not want having a contract out on me because I am a dead man. He is just undeniably brutal. Thoroughly enjoyed that movie. John Wick is a great badass character.
It really was. What about you, Brian?
I mean, how can you go with anybody but Wolverine?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
I mean, you've got a guy that was, you know, of course, he's just the toughest badass there is, but he's also had his conscience ripped out of him, sent to the, you know, 50 years prior, you know, rehashed the 70s. For the second time.
Bad enough the first.
Yeah. And then thrown back into a world that he now all of a sudden is unfamiliar with. So.
Okay. Yeah, I get it. But how many years can he be the biggest badass of the year? I mean,
every year.
It seems like it. I love Wolverine, but damn, every year? Let somebody else hold
until
that crown.
Wolverine quits making movies.
Eating chicken breasts.
Or Batman. Batman, you know. Since there was no Batman movie, it's got to be Wolverine.
Okay, what about the best stunt? What was the best stunt you saw all year?
Well, mine's going to be controversial because it's a movie that nobody likes, but I thought the scene in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 where he jumps down like a bell tower or something to save Gwen. You know, he's swinging down.
Yeah, you should probably stop right there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that I loved how that whole scene ended. Not just story-wise, but just how what happens at the bottom there just was such an awesome stunt for me. It was one of those where I knew it was a stunt, but I almost bought it that it was actually happening. It was really cool. Plus, it led to like one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie, so I really liked it.
All right, Justin?
Yeah, I hate to do this because I've done it before, but all of the driving sequences in Need for Speed, There was some CGI work involved in that, but there was also a ton of practical stunt driving that went on in that movie. And for me, Need for Speed, I think, has rivals the first few Fast and Furious movies for just how good its driving scenes were.
He's right.
They were incredible.
He's right. The driving was phenomenal in that game. It felt like a game. It really did in that movie. Don't you wish that movie would have been more successful, Justin?
I do. I want more, because I think it's a great character. I think the franchise can definitely go on. I do wish it had made more money. What are you going to do?
Not much. Brian, what about you? Best stunt all year?
Anything done by a Ninja Turtle in Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Really? Big fan?
Those guys, look, they were motion captioned, much like the apes in Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. But these guys are also fighting, doing flips and jumping off of stuff. That takes some pretty good skill. So I'm going to give it to the Ninja Turtles, the people behind the Ninja Turtles.
I like it. I'm going with that entire ending to Expendables 3, because that was all big stunt piece. And
God, that motorcycle jump
was great.
Oh, God dang, man, that is a good choice.
Oh, and I rewatched it. For all the hate these movies get, you all can suck my... That I'm, fucking
look, I will
movie
stand on that hill and fight the masses with you.
Thank you.
Your arms locked as each of you holds a chain gun.
That's right. Back to back, chain guns fully loaded, cock locked, ready to rock. Bring them on!
Exactly.
Same blood, the same mud.
Oh, I love it. The best CGI. What was the best CGI you saw all year?
Kind of to dovetail off of Brian, the turtles, even though they were completely CGI on the screen, they are the people behind those computers are so damn good. When they're, I guess, paid enough money or given enough of an incentive, they can really create something that is so photorealistic. And yet, obviously, giant mutant ninja turtles do not exist.
What?
But you watch that movie. I know, it's shocking.
You're
you
full
watch
of
that
shit.
Movie,
lies.
And you're like, fuck, they exist. They look real. They the texture on their skin, the everything about them was just so real looking. It was almost spooky.
You sit on a shell of lies. Lies.
I'm telling you, they don't exist. The movie would have you believe otherwise. But
fuck. Does Megan Fox exist? Just tell me that's true. Is that real?
I was going to dovetail off of Justin and say the worst CGI would be Megan Fox's face, because that was not the Megan Fox I remember from Transformers.
She's getting older, man. She's getting older.
Yeah.
Lips are getting bigger.
Her lips are looking very...
poofy.
Meg Ryan-ish.
Industrialized.
Aftermarket.
Brian, what's your best CGI?
Oh, it's hands down Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
Just every one of those apes, the act, just the dozens or more. I don't know how many actors they had playing the apes, but they've got the motions and everything down to a science. The detail with the facial expressions, you not only understand what whatever apes like Caesar. I mean, that's how good they are. I've got me referring to them as people.
Yeah.
But Caesar and Koba and the others that are, they don't even need to say English words. You can read their faces, their facial expressions and know exactly what they're going through and get attached to them. And that's just unheard of in this category.
That's my pick too.
To be fair, though, their English is better than yours.
Oh shit!
That was yours too, Scott.
It was mine as well. Yeah, there's times watching that movie where I was unsure whether or not I was looking at CGI or if I was looking at a real animal.
So good.
I mean, it was insane.
What about your number one favorite movie moment of 2014? Go.
I'm going to get a little schmaltzy with this one, but in the film Begin Again, which has Mark Ruffalo and Keira Knightley, shut the fuck up. There is a scene early on in the film where Mark Ruffalo's character, who's a musician and a music producer.
You were going to say Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No. Well, he may be that too, but We don't see any of that. They really exist. He's in this bar and or a coffee house, whatever, and he sees Keira Knightley's character just sitting on a stage with a guitar and she's singing. But as he's watching her, because of just how beautiful her singing is and how simple the guitaring is, the instruments that are behind her from like some other band that had been up earlier, he imagines them being picked up and played, accompanying her music. And you don't see anybody picking them up, but it's like the violin lifts into the air, a tambourine, some other instruments. And they're all just kind of playing behind her with nobody playing them. But it's a beautiful little moment in which you can see the mind of a music producer and a musician who can take what he hears and then just find other elements to make it even better. And then later on in the film, you actually get to see her do that song with all these people playing those instruments with her. And it's a fantastic moment.
Very nice. Brian, what's yours?
Oh, gosh. Guardians of the Galaxy, Groot. But it's the scene where he beats up all the guys in the hallway and then turns around and smiles at the camera.
That was great.
That was a great scene.
That it ranks up there with the Hulk sucker punching Thor and also the Hulk whooping the shit out of Loki. And
it's like Groot's face is like, this is good, right?
You're proud of me. Yeah, I did good.
So yeah, it just was like, you know, the scene was badass enough and everything. And you know, he's just whipping these guys all around and everything. And then just to kind of cap it off with that unsuspected, you know, where he spins around and looks at you and just has a big old smile on his face was just priceless.
That's beautiful. Good pick, man. That's fun. Mine is, I'm going back to Nightcrawler. Justin, I think you're the only one that saw it of the four of us besides me, right?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Well, there's a scene where Jake Gyllenhaal's character comes across a murder scene like right after the killers leave. And he goes into the murder scene and the ensuing scene that happens where you see exactly how far his character will go might be the only time the entire year where I literally held my breath. I mean, I held my breath because it was just insane. And when it was over, I think that one scene kind of managed to say everything that it was trying to say about the media. And it did it very subtly, very discreetly, very pointedly. And I thought it was extremely well done to the point where when it was over, I actually went, because it was that tense. Hmm. It was that good. Just great.
But
great,
there was actually an artistry to what he was also doing. Because
it was,
He knows what makes a good picture. You know, what makes a good frame. And he just moves things just so subtly that it suddenly becomes engaging, whereas originally it was just troubling. Mm-hmm. And it's that conflict between this artistic nature of what he's doing and yet the horrible, you know, aspect of what he's really doing, which is taking these dead bodies and making art and money off of them. It's gross, but yet kind of weirdly beautiful. It's strange.
And also weirdly reflective of our current media, which I'm telling you, if you haven't seen this movie, see it when it comes out. It's really good. It's really good. Scott?
My pick is from Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. There's a scene where Koba is coming at the humans, and he's actually...
Oh, I almost picked this scene.
Yeah. He's basically acting like a circus monkey or something.
Where he pretended, yeah.
And then he just flips the switch and just goes ape shit.
No pun intended?
No, you write that down? I didn't write it down.
Prove it. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But I'm sorry, go on.
No, it just, how much emotion you saw in his face when he just flipped that switch and just looked so angry and, it was so, I almost had a moment like you said where I was like almost physically affected, like going, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, it was really well done. What were we going to say, Justin?
Well, it's just, in that scene, you're kind of hoping, please don't let them see him. Please don't let them see him, because you know they're going to shoot him if they do. And they do see him, but it's when you look at his face, it's like he's looking at them and he's going, I'm too far away. I can't run. They'll shoot me. I can't run at them. They'll shoot me. You can see this playing on his face. What do I do? And then he just does what you know, that I never expected, which was, hey, just become a clown. Look, I'm just a harmless little circus mm-hmm. monkey. Completely getting the drop on him. It was a show of brutal intelligence.
And it ends with him going like, bitch, please.
Yep.
All right. Time is here. We're going to do our top fives. Don't worry, we're not going to elaborate on 20 movies. We're just going to read them off really quick. Scott, what were your top five movies total of 2014?
2014. My number five was Snowpiercer. My number four was Big Hero 6.
Aww.
My number three was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. My number two was Video Games the Movie. And number one was Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm going to say just a couple words on that one really quick. Guardians was the most fun I've had in the theater all year long. I got to watch it on IMAX screen with one of our listeners. It's the first time that I remember all four of us seeing a movie at exactly the same time and we're furiously texting each other at the end of it. It was exactly what I wanted and more. Just so much fun, so hilarious. It hit all the right notes for me. So those are my picks.
On my cruise, as we were walking through the Lido deck at night, they would play two movies every night. And as we were walking under there, I heard Guardians of the Galaxy playing. And I was like, no, they didn't. And we were intending to go back to the room. Instead, my wife went to the room alone. I found a seat and I watched Guardians again for I don't know how many a time. And it was just as much fucking fun.
That's just sad. Justin, your wife is waiting for you. She might have had a little something special. But
I'd rather watch Guardians.
Whoa.
Just kidding.
Now I really hope she listened. What's your top five, Justin?
My number five is Begin Again. Loved it. Number four, Edge of Tomorrow. People, watch this movie. Number three is Nightcrawler. Number two, gotta go, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And, of course, number one, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Good list. That's a good list. Brian?
Number five, Expendables 3.
Yeah.
Number four, Edge of Tomorrow. Number three, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Number two, X-Men, Days of Future Past. And number one, Guardians of the Galaxy. I won't really embellish on that one too much. Really, just a lot of for the same reasons that Scott said. But X-Men, Days of Future Past, I watched it again recently, and it was so much better the second time that I watched it than it was the first time.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah, I don't know if it was, you know, the comfort of my house, or if maybe the... I spent too much time trying to figure out, who is that so-and-so? Is that this character or that character? And then also trying to figure out some of the continuity, the issues that were going on. And then I don't know what was going on, but I don't know. Maybe I just understood it more this time around. Whatever the case, it was so much better. So I kind of feel bad for it. I gave it a good score earlier this year, if I remember right. But but much like Captain America Winter Soldier, it didn't score. You know, it was one of those good, you and I, Aaron, both have had a couple of these movies this year where it was good, it was entertaining, I enjoyed it, but I wasn't crazy about it like everybody else was. And that's how this was when I first saw it.
Mm-hmm.
This time around was, like I said, the second time I've watched it here was a lot better and enjoyed it a lot more.
Hmm. Well, my top five were, number five is Veronica Mars, the movie. It's more of an experience thing because of where I saw it. Four, Guardians of the Galaxy. Three is The Guest. I can't rave about it enough. Find it on Blu-ray. Number two, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, of course. And number one, I've talked about it aplenty, and that's Nightcrawler. The only one I'll elaborate on, I'll pick one just like you guys, is The Guest. And that is because that is a movie that I saw earlier this year that I've talked about before, but I can't say enough. It's a movie that is really only going to appeal to a specific kind of audience. You really got to like 80s sci-fi / action flicks. If you don't like those, you probably won't like the movie. But if you're in that narrow little margin, if you love those movies like Terminator and Roadhouse and every other action movie that came out, if you just pick an 80s action flick, if you like those, odds are you're going to like this. It just balls out crazy, and it reminds me of a movie that was made in the 80s. I just loved it.
Does he rip a guy's throat out?
He has a better bar fight than anything Dalton ever did, put it that way.
Man, those big words.
Yep. I'm telling you, that bar fight,
if
fucking awesome.
If Dalton wore shoes, those would be big shoes to fill.
This is true. Good call. Now, our listeners.
I just hope he knows that it's okay to be nice, but then you got to know when to not be nice.
Oh, he knows when not to be nice. Trust me. Oh, yeah. And the soundtrack? Fantastic. Our listener picks for their top three movies for 2014. Number three, Gone Girl. They actually got a lot of votes, which I encourage everybody to see it. Didn't love it as much as the listeners did, but definitely a good movie. Number two, Captain America Winter Soldier. Any guesses on number one? Anybody?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Your number four?
Yep.
Mr. I Gotta Be Different?
Spider-Man 2.
Not different. I said it when it came out. I'm not as crazy about it as you guys. I liked it, but I didn't think it was the best movie of the year. It's my pick.
And that
get off my back.
Between us and the listeners, we actually had a lot of diversity in our list.
Yeah, I would say. Most of it came from mine because apparently I'm more open-minded than you guys. All right, remember to like us on Facebook. We have a Hollywood Outsider Facebook group for movie and TV fans, not just for fans of the show. The page and the group are two separate things. So like the page, join the group. That's how it works. There's always a link in the show notes, so go there if you want to sign up. Review us on iTunes, and we'll read your review on the show. We do have two emails. Justin, want to read the first one?
Sure. The first one's from David Chrismore. He says, "Hey, fellas, as for the topic of the week, I didn't get a chance to give input before the show, but I would have to agree with Justin on this and say Ultraviolet is the worst movie I have ever seen. When I was thinking of the topic, some movies came to mind that were bad, but I remembered having fun with it because it was bad. Ultraviolet was just plain awful. The trailers were good and my buddies and I had hopeful expectations. The fact that we were broke college students was the only reason we didn't just walk out. Now, that may have been the worst movie I've seen, but after hearing the episode, I was intrigued by this movie, The Room. I'd never heard of it, but a quick search proved it to be a classic of shit movies.
You're welcome.
So I checked out the trailer, and after my brain stopped melting, I concluded that this movie is in full could probably make for pretty effective torture, as inhumane as it might be. I am a fan of a YouTube channel called Cinemasons, which I highly recommend checking out.
CinemaSins. CinemaSins.
CinemaSins. I put the wrong emphasis on the syllables. The guy makes quick cut videos of selected scenes and moments from movies and gives a pick apart or joking commentary on what he finds sinful in a film. Mm. The videos are always very funny jabs at some of our favorite movies, and usually most get out with only 100 or so sins as a final score. The video for The Room was hands down the funniest movie I've watched on YouTube in a long time. The final sin score for this movie was in the billions.
Wow.
I will never watch the movie at this point, but I would say for anyone who doesn't know anything about this movie, watch the trailer, give yourself a good moment to scratch your head and think, what the fuck did I just see? And then follow it up with a CinemaSins review of it. I love that this movie exists just so that I can never see it and know that it exists. I'm currently still working through episodes from your early days, and I'm enjoying it quite a bit. Aww. I think you guys are awesome, and I love the show. Thank you very much for your continued dedication to such a great show, and happy holidays to the four of you. Warmest regards, David Chrismore. Thank you, David.
Thanks, David.
I hope you even like this really long episode, because that's what it is, long. Brian?
Like my dong.
Brian?
Wow. It's a shame when I'm the classy one on here.
Yes, it is.
Justin McKamey writes, he says, "Hey, hoes, great Christmas special. I even enjoyed the caroling. Thanks for getting personal and sharing your stories. It allowed us to get to know more about you as people, not just podcasters."
I want to, before you continue, we're gonna do a similar idea around Valentine's Day. We're all going to be personal about love. Mm-hmm. Like personal.
Wow. Oh, God.
All right, continue. Well, apparently you won't because you hate love.
Love stinks.
Love stinks.
I like that song.
Yeah.
Love stinks.
Finish your email.
He also says, "On your discussion of trilogies, thought you might like other ideas on their own works that you mentioned. J.R.R. Tolkien, when he wrote The Lord of the Rings, was actually one book. The publisher actually argued it was way too long of a book and they couldn't sell as many copies. Basically, he says the Tolkien reluctantly agreed in breaking them into a few books. The two writers of the Caribbean, Pirates of the Caribbean, wrote the story with the thought of one movie. Hence, it was nice and tight. What resulted were additional movies that weren't as concise and well-written as the first, which resulted in a bunch of sequels, which lost the magic. So the various definition of trilogies, I think all have merits.
Hmm. I like it. Whatever, basically.
So that's a long way of saying we're all you right. All make good points.
Yeah, I like it. We're all right.
Some of us are just writer than others.
I'm writer. Definitely me. Me!
Sorry, you're wronger.
Oh, and in his mention of Tolkien, I got to say that Hobbit special podcast you guys did, man, you guys were brutal.
No, I don't think so. I think we're pretty accurate.
Yeah, I listened to it. I was like, let's see, how much good did they have to say about the movie and how much bad? And it was easy.
It was
1-10 ratio. Yeah. It was heavy on the bad.
It was.
Oh, when you take off your rose-colored glasses, you let me know what you think then.
Well, but you still rated it what?
650 for that one.
Brian, what did you rate it?
I was in the seven, maybe 7.5.
Right, but for all three films, I gave the films higher scores than you guys did, but you guys gave it fairly high scores. But for the conversation to then just sound from a listener's perspective, like it was just nothing but everything we disliked about these movies.
Fanboy's perspective, maybe. I think you were wanting to hear certain. It was great, and Jackson's great.
I would like to just heard about
licking Jackson's taint right now. I love him so much.
Hey, a little balanced view.
Can I get to Justin McCamey's question here? Hello.
Yes.
Can we stay on track?
Finish email.
For God's sakes, ladies, pull your panties out.
Well, hurry up, God damn it! We got shit to do.
He says, "I have a question that need the host's combined intellect to decide and discuss."
Oh.
Why is Hollywood obsessed with origins in movies? When I first saw Star Wars Episode 4, we didn't get an origin of Darth Vader, and as a kid/fan, I didn't care. He was mysterious and powerful. My imagination was far better than the movies that showed how Vader came to be was depicted. Why is it every superhero movie has to tell the origin, even repeatedly, as in Spider-Man and Batman reboots? I think the mystery of characters can be more powerful than explaining every little thing. The TV series, The Strain, so far no origin story of the main bad guy. Vampire, awesome. It's mystery. It's mysterious and creepy.
It's a good topic. We'll come back to it, definitely. Later in. We got a bunch of listener topics. We'll add that to the list. Can't wait.
So anyway, he just says, trying hard not to choke on the over-explained origin of popcorn. Justin McCamey.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for our show.
Already?
Yeah. It was a long one. We had 2 years to talk about. That's a lot of shit. Stay to the credits for outtakes. Next year will be a much shorter show, I promise. We'll also be talking about Taken 3. The trilogy is complete. Is that a trilogy, technically? I don't know. Apparently, we can't decide.
Is there three movies?
There's three movies, and the story kind of connects. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com or tweet us on @H_Outsider, facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen, subscribe for free on iTunes, listen on your Stitcher Radio app, TuneIn Radio, or whatever podcasting app you choose. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Thanks to Justin, Brian, and Scott. Justin, your new book is called what again?
A Broken Magic. I was like, oh God, which one is it again? A Broken Magic, a sequel to A Minor Magic.
And there is a link on the website, so you can just go there and click it. You don't even have to look hard for it. Brian, who won fantasy football?
God, let me see. Let me check the records. Oh, I did.
Which of our listeners won?
But, you know, who came in second?
I came in second. Who of the listeners won the fantasy football? It was Wally Kulik. I'll just save you the trouble because apparently it's a struggle for you. You're not ready. Wally Kulik, congratulations. Yeah. You won the listener point. We'll be in contact soon to figure out what review we're going to bring on the show to do. Looking forward to it. Hopefully Brian's more prepared. Scott, you wanted to mention real quick? We got something coming up.
You won. I won.
Oh, we've got a special after hour or after dark, so we're calling it now?
Whatever we're calling it. Special episode.
We got a special episode that we're going to record this weekend. We have a guy by the name of Marcus Beer coming to join us as a special guest. He's most notable for his gaming journalism, but he's a big movie geek as well. So we're going to talk about classic sci-fi TV shows this weekend.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, that's going to do it. Welcome back. Sorry this episode was so long. We always try to keep it under 2 hours. I think we broke that promise this week. Apologies. But we'll be back on track next week, promise. And remember, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.
Does it smell like mint down here?
That would be, I just wash my balls.
You wash your balls in mint?
Don't you?
Well, it's for your pleasure.
I don't wash my balls.
Yeah. Makes your breath smell better whenever you're done. Scott.
Brian, I've seen you on social media like 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah, that was all like in the last half hour.
I read the book Pines during my cruise. So now if they stick to the book, I know what it's about.
I just know Matt Dillon's in it and Carla Gugino's in it, and it feels a little Twin Peakish, very Twin Peakish, I guess. But it's
also, I can't say anything.
I love Carla Gugino's Twin Peaks.
She is beautiful, but altogether, she is a stunner.
She has a face. Peaks are so twinny.
Oh yeah, I wanted to send a link to you. Somebody recut the Ant-Man trailer.
I saw it. It's supposed to be like more fun.
I don't know. It
I don't know. Maybe let him finish the story there, jackass.
God, you're a dick. I didn't miss you at all.
I'm just warming up to, you know, I want that pissed off somebody award tonight. So
good luck with that.
It's going to be a race now. I'm with my fellow host.
Fuck all the There, did it.
Can I Brian use that in the outtakes? I better get permission on that one. Huh?
If you can preface it, then you got permission.
Oh, look at the equivocation, you pussy.
Can't even man up and take
you
it.
You can't. You just can't cut a clip of that of me just going, fuck all the f***ings, and then just stop it.
No, I can. I actually can. I can actually remove all context completely.
Every time Brian speaks, fuck all the...
Yep.
What he said.
Because the last thing I want is, you know...
Nice, Justin. Nice save.
You know, in 6 months when we're world famous... And, you know, I'm on Kimmel, and he plays this clip. And I'm going, look, it was taken out of context. That's not exactly one you can argue was taken out of context.
Sure can't, especially the way I'm going to cut it. Okay, ready? Take that as a yes.
Happy New Year!
No, you didn't do it.